Thanks, Roger, and a happy Sunday morning to everyone out there. Dave Plyer is off today. It's myself. I'm John Hansen. And Esmeralda Leon. How you doing, Esmeralda?
Hi.
How you doing?
Good.
They brought us back.
Yeah, I know. They like us?
Apparently people like us. We were on last Friday night into Saturday morning for Matt Bubala, and I was really bummed. I love Dave, and I love Matt. I just was bummed that we weren't going to get to say Matt Bubala a bunch today.
We still can.
We still can say it. That's true. There's no limitations on it.
Every time we're like, I was talking to Matt Bubala.
But Dave Plyer's got a great radio name, too.
Dave Plyer. He has a different tone, I think.
Yeah, way different.
Dave Plyer.
312-981-7200 if you'd like to call or text at any point today. We've actually got a really packed show. It's funny because I always, like, 3 days before we do the show, Esmeralda, you know me, I'm always like, do we have enough? Oh my goodness, let me call 25 people. And then I'm looking at the schedule, I'm like, we're too packed. This is crazy.
So we got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we really do. So Mike Heidemann's going to join us in a little bit. You know him from Sound Sessions and from producing Bertrand's Wintrust Business Lunch. He's going to be talking about music and other fun things. Kevin White, a comedian, is going to join us. Oh, we have another one, right? We have two comedians coming
in. Yes, his producer is coming in as
he
well.
He has a
Zach
name.
Peterson.
We'll get it. Yeah,
I think it's Zach Peterson.
It's Zach.
If not, sorry. It's Zach.
Kevin and Zach are coming in. They've got a show tomorrow night. We're going to chat with them.
No, it's tonight.
Oh, you're right. You're right.
Because it's Sunday.
It is Sunday. And then... Okay, so we got Miosha Thomas coming in a little bit later. She is an Army vet who was injured while serving overseas, and she started a really cool nonprofit back here. And I've got so many questions for her. I just keep on coming, not only about her organization, One Savvy Veteran, but you've got the Tammy Duckworth race as a disabled vet running for Senate. I think that's interesting.
And female.
And she's military. She's also black. So I have so many questions about the Colin Kaepernick, like that sort of stuff, too. I imagine she'll have such a unique perspective on all that stuff. So you're going to have to stay here for that. And then some more wonderful things coming up later on in the show. How was your week, Esmeralda? Anything fun? Anything cool? Your weekend great? I can tell by your posture
I'm trying to think. What did I do? Usually there's something big that happened, and I went, oh, yeah, and that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. No, it was pretty calm.
Pretty calm
week.
Mm-hmm.
Just worked.
Yeah. Right. It was a busy week. I was working the...
Oh, we went to the Hawks game.
I know.
That was my first Hawks game.
That was your first ever Hawks game?
Yeah,
you went on Wednesday night for the first preseason game.
Yeah.
You were up in the WGN suite.
I know. It was exciting. And then you came in. You were working, professional man.
Yeah, I had my suit on and everything.
You were tonight as well, right?
Yeah, I actually announced the game tonight as the public address announcer, which was an absolute blast, a thrill, and an honor. Most of our listeners probably, if they've been to Hawks games or White Sox games, Gene Honda is the main public address announcer. Mm-hmm. Probably the best public address announcer ever. He does like the Final Four for basketball, the Frozen Four, the Big Ten tournament, all this other stuff. And because of these things I'm lifting off on my hand, every now and then he has to miss a Blackhawks game. He does the Fighting Illini football. So now and then he has to miss a Hawks game. And for the past 6 years, I've filled in. It's a thrill.
Do you change your voice?
It's a little different, so this is very conversational.
Can you do some?
Yeah,
do
what
you
do you
like
want?
A thing?
I wish I had a button to make it echoey. I don't know if
there is an echo button on the board.
Where is it? What do I do?
I think it's on your right.
Okay. Oh God, this is a disaster.
I don't know if it says echo or not.
I'm about to knock us off the air. Maybe I'll practice. Maybe I'll find that a little bit later on.
I'm sure
just
Aubrey
do it, just do it
can
with your hands.
Come down and do it with your hand.
Blackhawks.
So tonight was crazy because there were a lot of penalties. There were a lot of fights. So I had a lot to read.
And fights.
I know there were some fights tonight. It was a crazy game. But yeah, Blackhawks goal, his first of the preseason, scored by number blah, blah, blah. And that's what
I love when I was there.
Mm-hmm.
You just started, you did one of the things. You were like, switch sticks up or something. And I was like, where do you, and he was saying it right.
Oh yeah,
exactly.
I told you. Yeah,
with the announcer.
With Gene,
and I was like,
yeah.
Do you have that on a piece of paper somewhere? He's like, no, it's what's happening. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah. No, yeah, you really showed your hockey prowess when you were... When I went up to Esmeralda, she seemed really into the game. No, you were. I mean, you were.
I was in awe because it's such a different experience than watching it on TV.
You have to be more enunciated.
Yes.
Because of the echo effect in the stadium, so you can be heard as you're announcing. I also understand that over at Wrigley Field.
Yes.
It's the same effect, even though it's open air. But it still echoes, and you don't want to talk so fast or... more casually that people can't make out what you're saying.
That's my always thing. I always have to remind myself to slow down a little bit. I'm a fast talker, so when you do the Hawks games. But it's the hardest thing, the weirdest thing about it is that you hear your echo, and it kind of throws you off. That's why you kind of have to you're on a delay. When you actually start talking to the microphone, it's still probably about a third of a second before it comes out of the speakers.
Do you got
to
do the singer cover your ear thing?
I do. I look like Madonna. I cover my right ear. I kind of groove a little bit. No, it's a really awesome gig, and the Blackhawks are obviously. I picked a really good time to start filling in for them. The last 6 years, it's been great.
Because they're winning.
Is that why? Yeah, because they win a lot.
They're good.
No, they're very gracious to have me there, and it's a real honor.
Awesome.
And my parents got to go tonight. It's always cool when my parents go. I think that is always what brings it home for me because my dad took me to games. I remember going to the old stadium. And I'm sure, I mean, I grew up wanting to do announcing and stuff like that. So my dad always says, and my mom too, but it's weird for them. Even after I've done it now for so many years, my dad is like, it's so strange that that's you, like
Does
on the
he,
microphone.
Are they ever at home watching a game and then they hear you and then they're like, whoa, what's going on?
Oh, no, yeah, they're pretty involved in my life. They know that when I'm doing it, they are very well aware. But no, because when you're watching the game at home, you'll hear the public address announcer.
Be you.
No, but you'll hear the public address announcer introduce the anthem.
Oh, okay.
And you'll hear him in the background. And then if they win, you'll hear the announcer do the three stars. I should say him or her because there are public address announcers that are female. Including Rennell Moon Brooks is the announcer for the San Francisco Giants. So you hear the public address announcer in the background.
Because my parents, my mom will listen every once in a while and keep track of me as well.
Yes.
But she's like, that doesn't sound like you.
Really?
You don't sound, and I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do.
Do you talk differently here than you do in normal life?
Also because I guess my voice changes because I speak Spanish to my parents.
Okay.
So it could be that my voice changes and they just don't.
Let's hear it. Let's hear some Spanish. Hey, Esmeralda. How are you?
Estoy bien.
That's a little different.
I'm trying to think like what else to say.
Say I went to the grocery store and bought some kumquats. I don't know. I'm just thinking of something.
Fui al super y compré fruta. I'll just say fruit because it's kumquat. I think it's just kumquat. Kumquats, kumquat.
I was going to say, do you not know the translation?
No.
You just
if there is,
fruta.
I don't know. Yeah, no, there's a lot of words I don't know because it's things like, I don't ask my mom about kumquats.
Right, no, so you wouldn't. I don't know where I pulled that from.
But I think it is just kumquats.
Okay. Los kumquats.
Los kumquats.
312.
That'd be a good band name.
That would be Los kumquats. Awesome band name.
Ladies and gentlemen, Los kumquats.
We got to ask Heidemann about that when he comes in here. Los Kumquats.
We should be like, hey, what about that new band, Los Kumquats? I hear they're real cool.
We should try and pretend if Mike pretends to know who they are.
Let's hope he's not listening.
Well, because you know, Mike's great. I'm sure Mike won't fake this, but you know how when you talk to someone,
like, I don't know what that is.
You know, well, when people talk about like that they know music and stuff and you just try and fake them out, I'm going
to
ask him about Los Kumquats.
Catch him in a lie. Like, yeah, joke's on you, they're not real.
You got to make it sound like, hey, did you catch Los Kumquats at the Hideout last week?
They were great.
Give them like a place. Yeah, right.
At the Hideout.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good
idea. They only did an hour set.
Right.
Me and Roger went.
Man, they were great.
Did you see their opener, Celery Stalkers? They were awesome.
Yes.
Celery Stalkers, Los Kumquats.
Oh, man. This is going to be a grab. We should.
It was a bushel full of music.
It was very good. Roger.
Oh, boy.
Man, Roger's on his game tonight.
Getting the puns out.
312-981-7200. Off to a great start so far. We're going to talk about, after the break, and hopefully this will be something that we kind of chat about through the entire morning, this really fascinating article you had, Esmeralda. Did you just stumble on this? Did you see it on the Facebooks.com or what?
I don't know where I saw it. I get a lot of emails of just newsletter things. Like,
you're a subscriber.
Five things you should eat
you're
for a better
tummy. You're a subscriber. Don't want to.
Oh, wow.
That's, oh, man. That's Los Kumquats' first song. Anyways.
That's their new single.
Right. Okay, so, yeah.
But I see a lot of links and stuff, and I click on them.
You follow through.
Yeah.
So what are we going to talk about? What is this? This one's,
so
I like this one.
It's a new book this woman wrote, and she says that you should talk to strangers.
Just go up to
and
them.
And I don't agree.
You don't agree, and I do agree, and we're going to talk
about
that.
You are way into it.
Oh, my God. I love talking to strangers. So I want to know from everyone out there, you can text us if you'd like, or you can call us, 312-981-7200. Do you talk to strangers? And I'm not just saying like a head nod or like a hi, but engage in actual conversation with strangers. And do you like doing that? Do you like when other people do that to you? And I'm curious. I think we'll get a wide range of answers.
Do you remember the feel-good kind of psychologist, Leo Buscaglia?
No.
this guy was all the rage on PBS and everything about 30 years ago.
Okay.
And he was known as Dr. Love because he just loved everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells of a time, he says, when you get in an elevator and the doors close, turn around and look at everybody else in the elevator and said, hi.
Oh, what kind of
I'm Roger. How you doing?
Oh, my gosh. I'm like, I would get off at the next. I'd be like, excuse me, can you? I need
I'm
to
about to
out.
Turn off your microphone, Roger. That's how creepy that was. No, I like talking to strangers, but
no.
Mm-hmm. We'll get into
yes.
this. We're going to get into the whole story and everything goodness after that. 312-981-7200. Give us a call in a little bit. We're going to be back. Esmeralda Leon and John Hansen here filling in for Dave Plyer on 720 WGN.
People are strange when you're a stranger. Faces look ugly when you're alone. Women seem wicked when you're unwanted. Streets are uneven when you're down.
720 WGN. Happy Sunday morning. Esmeralda Leon and John Hansen here filling in for Dave Plyer. Do you want to give a shout out to what that was that we just heard there? That was your...
People are strange.
By who was that?
By the Doors.
Okay. All right, I'm going to try the echo effect. Apparently we've learned how to do this. All right, you ready, Esmeralda?
Yes.
Oh. Ooh. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the United Center, your home for Blackhawks hockey.
Oh, that was great.
See? That was really good.
Very good.
I hope that's not the only time we use it. Because the engineer came down here to do all that work. And
no, now that we have it, we'll use it all the time.
That's good. All right,
because who doesn't need an echo?
312-91-7200, text us or give us a call. We're talking about strangers and whether you like to talk to them, just kind of out of the blue. And Esmeralda, we've got a couple callers already. We'll get to them in a moment. But you're kind of vehemently against this. You're put your
so
head
against,
down and
no,
never.
Thank you. Don't talk to me.
Or is it weird?
I don't even know my neighbors.
Really? You don't have any interest in finding out, or?
No, I don't. No, I don't. No.
That's interesting, because I thought maybe everyone in broadcasting had this, because I love to talk to people, even if I've never met them. In fact, I was telling you, when I'm in a bad mood, I kind of just walk around my neighborhood, Ukrainian Village, I'll pop into wherever, the grocery store, whatever it is, and get to know people, whatever it is. And maybe it's just a casual couple of words, but it's because I don't do what Roger did and creep everyone out. Like, and I can say that now because he's not in the chair. But, you know, just like, hey, how's it going? Like, oh, the weather. I mean, the weather's always a good way
See,
in.
Now, for me, that would put me in a bad mood.
Really?
Like, stop talking to me.
See, if I talk to people, it puts me into a really good mood. So let's get to your calls, 312-981-7200. Big Joe, you're in the line. You say you like to talk, but there's a few subjects that you like to avoid.
Yeah, real quick. How you doing, bud?
Good, Joe. Hi, Big Joe.
I'm 6 foot. I'm not that big.
Okay.
But I'm like 6'3", about 260, 270.
All right.
Bigger than me.
Bigger than Esmeralda. Medium, medium large, Joe.
Medium large.
Medium large. All right. All right. So what do you like to steer clear of?
My biggest thing is you can't do politics as far as talking to strangers.
Right.
And you can't really deal with race, apparently.
That is true. I imagine that that's a tough one. You know, what's interesting is both of those subjects are so important to talk about these days.
Right.
But I think
you can't really talk about them.
I think, and you know what's interesting? And you say that...
especially with an election going on, but...
Well, you think we should be able to
talk about it. You should be able to, but you can't do it.
It's interesting because I think those two things... It's interesting because even your friends, you sometimes don't like to talk about this because you never know. And I feel so bad. I was out with one of my friends yesterday and his girlfriend... Yeah. Happened to mention, she wouldn't even mention that she was I'm a big Hillary Clinton fan. I have no problem saying that. And if you're not, that's okay too. I'm always fine to talk about that stuff.
No, I'm actually against Hillary.
That's okay. But anyways, someone this girl was pro-Trump, and it wasn't even her. It was her family was pro-Trump.
Yeah,
and I could not stop talking about it. And it's so rude of me. Like, I shouldn't have done that. I felt so bad. I was so mean.
You went the political route.
I did. And that was such a bad move. And I have to text her tomorrow just to be like, I cannot.
Are you talking?
You're very well educated and everything. meaning both of you guys and everything. But
yeah. Well, medium-sized Joe, you don't really know that. So no, I'm just kidding. Hey, Joe, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. 312-9172.
Now, were you talking about... When you were talking to her about it, were you talking about the family or
I don't know.
The whole Trump-Hillary situation.
Well, I was talking about Trump-Hillary. I mean,
and she's just like, oh.
I mean, she didn't even invite it, and I just went right into it. Now, I was a couple cocktails in. That's what happened. when you get three gin and tonics in me, I'm going to talk about anything. No, and I guess my point was is that that's a good point. I wouldn't talk to strangers about politics, but I wouldn't even talk to a lot of friends about politics. Yeah. Okay, Reese is on the line now. Reese, you like to talk to strangers, right?
Yeah, well, I like to talk to people. I feel that when I talk to someone, I am the one that's nice. So I like to meet people.
You're kind of breaking up a little bit, Reese, but you know, you told our producer that you like to you meet interesting people. See, that's an interesting thing. If you stay in your box.
Yeah, no, I agree. You do. It's just that sometimes I just don't. For some reason, I invite the ones who want to just creep me out.
Right.
Because there are people who are like, oh, hi, blah, blah, blah. Nice weather.
Right.
Then they're the ones that just like get right into your face. And you're just like, okay, I got to go.
Steve, you said that your dad takes the Roger Badish approach.
Oh, no, he'll talk to people anywhere. But I was like about 15 years old, and we're taking the elevator up in a water tower, and he'd talk to strangers.
Did that weird you out?
Well, no, he's always done it. Hell, I remember one time, I shouldn't say that, the FTC.
No, you're good.
One time in St. Louis, a guy was asking directions, and they had a 40-minute conversation.
A 40-minute conversation?
It seemed like it.
You really backed away from that 40 minutes pretty quickly. No, but
yeah,
I see what you're saying.
About 8 minutes, yeah.
Did that trait pass on to you then, or are you the opposite?
No, that's why I'm awkward on the phone, yeah.
No, you're not awkward. You're doing good.
My dad's the same way. He talks to anybody.
Yeah.
The checkout count lady and whatever. And I'm just like, come on.
I think dads.
Yourself and let's go.
I think dads are kind of like that. Steve, thank you so much for the call. We really appreciate it. Jared, are you on the line? You say that you don't necessarily talk to strangers, but what? It's the opposite, right? Jared, you there? Oh, Jared.
Oh, you got to hit the button.
Hey, Jared, how you doing? You say that you don't necessarily talk to strangers, but it's the opposite.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as Big Joe. I'm tall. I'm about 6'9". And strangers.
Now, hold on. Stop.
Six foot nine.
You qualify. You are Big Jared. All right. So I imagine, do people talk to you and is their first thing saying, holy God, you're tall?
Exactly, yeah. And then asking how tall I am and if I played sports in high school and whatnot. And I find I tend to keep to myself more because strangers come up to me more often than.
Does it bother you, Jared, or no?
No, I've grown to appreciate it. I've met a lot of really interesting people over the years because of my height. I've grown to appreciate it and enjoy it, actually.
Do people want to take pictures with you?
They do, and a lot of times they try to sneak pictures. They'll have their friend hold the phone, and they'll sneak up behind me. And try and take a picture on the fly.
Aww.
Which is funny because I'm not a mean person. Like, if they just ask, I'd be more happy to take a picture with them. But I think it's funny that they have to sneak around about it.
You should, when that happens, you should turn around and, like, fee-fo-fi-fum your way through. Did I say those out of order?
Oh, my God.
But, like, just pretend like you're this crazy giant. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, that'll endear him to people.
You should just Frankenstein your way through that.
Or just start charging.
Or, exactly. Hey, Jared, thanks for the call, all right?
You're welcome.
Oh, and I just hung up on it. That was really nice of me. 312-581-7200. Fascinating stuff. People chiming all in about things that they do. Oh, so Kevin, before we get to a break, Kevin chimes in. Kevin, you are an Uber driver, right?
Yeah, I drive a few nights a week for Uber, and you know, obviously I'm talking to strangers all the time, and I just wanted to counter the young man that called a couple calls ago that talked about race. I totally disagree. I mean, I'm African American, and obviously I pick up a lot of Caucasians and people of all kinds, and we talk about race all the time. The bottom line is, if you don't talk about it, you know, how are you ever going to get over all the issues that persist?
Do you feel like that is something that you have to kind of ease into? Because I actually, it's interesting because I love talking to my Uber drivers. I do pretty much all the time. And usually I try and like, if it is an African-American, especially with what's been going on with Colin Kaepernick and the anthem and stuff. I mean, these are very valuable conversations to be having. But I don't like go right into it. So I kind of like.
So the way that I do it is when I pick up a fare, if the person immediately goes to their devices, their tablets or their cell phone, I immediately conclude non-talker. But if they don't, we talk. Mm-hmm. That's how I do it.
And you're okay talking about anything?
Absolutely.
That's what I feel like. I feel like, you know, you're going to have to talk about this stuff if we're going to do anything. So you might as well just dive head first, as long as there's like a level of respect. I feel like that's...
Right. I think there is a way to talk about something without being disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely. And you do that, then you're fine.
And yep. The key to talking, yes. Kevin, as I'm sure you know, is listening.
That's true.
All right.
You know, but when you, you know, as you're having the conversations, if it's something... You know, that you disagree with what they're saying, then you can always redirect it to a totally different subject.
That's
you
true.
Know what I mean?
That's
kind of how I do it. So, yeah, I disagree. I think you should, you know, talk about race all the time. I mean, that's how we're, you know, otherwise how are we going to get over these issues that exist?
Skip the weather. Just go right to race.
Yeah.
How's the sun? I don't care about that. Now, here's what I feel about this. All right, Kevin, hey, thanks for your call. Stay safe out there, okay?
Thanks, guys.
All right, we're going to continue this conversation. This is obviously touching a nerve with folks. We want to know, do you approach strangers or do strangers approach you because you're freakishly tall or something like that? 312-981-7200. Now, Roger Badish, you're no stranger to me. You're no stranger to us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's news time, so I think we've got to toss it over to you. You got some fun news for us?
I don't know if it's fun.
Wasn't that quite the toss?
Wow.
Sorry.
No, here,
I'll do the formal.
I mean, it all depends on your point of view.
All right, I'll do the formal toss.
Okay.
This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago, WGNradio.com. I thought we might have some bump. Oh, there it is. Sorry, Lisa, I didn't mean to throw you under the bus there. I just was like, I thought there'd be music. Oh, there is. Oh, I like it. Great start to this second half hour. 312-981-7200. Esmeralda Leon and I are filling in. I'm John Hansen. Esmeralda, we have our later guests are already here. And Esmeralda, who doesn't like to talk to strangers, decided to open up to them and offer them water. They've said yes. So now Esmeralda has had to run upstairs.
She's on a water run?
She's on a water run. Mm-hmm. See, that's what you get for talking to strangers.
Yeah,
so.
We'll get buckets ready for her up here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 312-911-7200. Chime in if you like to talk to strangers. We're your strangers, so you can chat with us, whether that's uncomfortable or not. We've had a lot of people calling that for some reason people talk to them. Some gentleman called in. It was 6-9. Mike Heidemann's joining us. You know him from Sound Sessions and for producing Winter's Business Lunch every single day. Mike, how you doing?
We're doing good, John.
Is your mic not on? Did I mess it up? Hello, anyone? Go ahead now.
There we go.
Oh, gosh.
John, it's great to see you. Esmeralda, if you're up there, could you grab me a scone?
Yeah!
Thank you.
Roger's got this terrible candy up there.
Yeah, I know.
The wrapper took me like 6 minutes to open for this little, it looks like a little pearl of candy.
And what was the tasty treat you found
Black
inside?
Black licorice. Like, go to hell. Like, what the heck? It took like 9 minutes to open. It was the worst payoff.
That candy is not mine. My candy is still stashed in a secret place.
Yeah, it is.
See, that's how Roger rolls. He knows.
He's got a secret stash. Mike, do you like to talk to strangers?
You know, I was listening a little bit before the show, and mm-hmm. this is really interesting because I was just having a conversation about this.
With a stranger? Right? Just jump right on in?
Just jumping right on with a stranger.
Hey, stranger, do you like to talk to strangers?
Won't you be my stranger?
Right.
And I was just thinking the other day, like, about how I kind of grew up with the same kind of sense like you did. Like my dad and my family grew up talking to a lot of strangers, so I was kind of brought up with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking the other day I went to a concert here in Chicago, and I didn't like dress up. I was very closed off. I didn't like do my hair. It was all messed, and I didn't shower for days. and for some reason, every time that happens,
wow.
Like, more people want to talk to me than ever, but when I get gussied up, it's just like a closed-off refrigerator.
How often does that happen where you don't shower for days?
Because
you go to a lot of concerts.
It's true. So if you're standing next to me, I'd take a few steps to the left.
Mike, that's disgusting. Because you probably get sweaty at these concerts and stuff.
Yeah, you know what, but I try to keep it cool. I stand in the back.
You don't jump around in the front? Because you're always posting photos. No, you just you had a photo that you posted the other day. You were like in the front row.
Yeah, we that was at the Switchfoot Reliant K show. The show that I was going to where I was all closed off. That was
right.
My closed off
sense. Okay.
But there was like people who were coming up to me every time. And this must happen to you too. Like, you know, when you're like not in the mood to talk, people want to like gravitate towards you more, I
maybe.
Feel like.
Yeah, I don't notice it particularly, but I just know that. You know, honestly, I don't think strangers come up to me too often. I don't give them a chance. I'm usually already talking to them because I just love it. I was telling Nels Marisol, I'm in a better mood when I'm talking to people, even if I just learn a little thing or two about them. It puts me in a good mood. Hey, did you get the water for me?
I got him water.
There you go.
That was so nice of you.
I went to the well.
Stranger.
WGN well.
The Tribune Company well. Hey, they're going to the well a lot lately. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to talk to strangers. A little bit later on, also... this is an idea I had. I don't know if this is going to work, but I want to do this quiz. You know, you see internet quizzes all the time.
Yes. I love them.
Yeah, I know. They're fun.
How else do you know if you're scary spice?
Right.
Or how baby spice.
Or how close you are related to Jim from The Office.
Right.
Yeah.
Like that.
Or if the sorting hat would put you in Gryffindor.
Because I don't know. I don't know these things.
I got
on
Hufflepuff
my own.
And I nearly threw my laptop out the window. I was like, go. Blank yourself. Hufflepuff? Really?
Wow.
No. I took the quiz like 3 times. I got Hufflepuff every time. And I'm like, cool. No one likes Hufflepuff. That entire house could die out and no one would care. Well, I mean, who's in Hufflepuff?
Great. You're offending all
Hufflepuff.
The Hufflepuffs.
Are you a Hufflepuff? Lisa's a Hufflepuffer?
And it's really upsetting because like when I was in high school and Pottermore started, I was like a Gryffindor.
And you changed. What changed about you?
I don't know.
You were a Gryffindor. Now you're a Hufflepuff.
Less brave.
If people have not seen Harry Potter, they don't know what we're talking about. All right, talking about strangers, 312-981-7200. Feel free to send us a text. We got a text from the 331 says, I text because I'm not comfortable talking. I get nervous.
Yeah, but do text, I agree.
But you text strangers? Just start texting numbers?
Probably his friends.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, by the way, did you see the text about... Well, I don't want to reveal this. Never mind. Hold on. So, Mike... Did you hear about this new band? They played at the Hideout a couple weeks ago.
I saw them. They're good.
They're awesome. Los Kumquats. Have you heard of them?
I'm already a fan of the name, but I have not heard of them. Los Kumquats?
Okay. All right. No, that was a big prank we were playing on you. We came up with Los Kumquats as a hipster band. We were going
to
see if you were going
to
pretend like you knew who they were because you were on the ground floor. But I'm glad you like the name, Los Kumquats.
I like that we were just trying to be mean. Like, let's catch him in a lie.
I know.
Well, I was like cycling through my list of bands that I know. And I'm like, doesn't really ring a bell.
If anything, we should be that band. Just throwing it out there. I have no musical talent, but
you guys just pulled an online hipster quiz on me, didn't
we
you?
We did.
And just like, I bombed.
You passed. Oh, you passed.
Okay, good.
Because you
glad
well,
there's
not
a follow up.
Right. No. Exactly. No. The opening band was Celery Stalkers. I can't make the same jokes twice.
No,
it's
the
terrible.
Celery Stalkers.
Celery Stalkers. Mm-hmm. That's what it was. But we were wondering because this all started because I made Esmeralda translate a sentence from English to Spanish. Mm-hmm. But someone sent us a text that there is a translation from Kumquat to Spanish, but you don't believe it, right?
I don't. Well. There's a lot of words that do have translations, but sometimes it's like it's too much of a translation. So I looked at the thing and it's essentially tiny Chinese oranges, which I guess could make sense. People just probably say kumquat.
I don't even know what a kumquat is. And I've said
it's one of them fruits.
In my entire life, I've said kumquat twice. And tonight I've now said it about 17 times.
We're going to make it a thing.
Yeah, we are. Those kumquats. So we want everyone to. I want people to call in, and I, you know, because everyone kind of has, you know, horror movies, there's all these rules about how you'd survive, how long you'd survive, and I want to see how long people think they'd survive, and then I'll take this quiz with them.
Yeah. And I actually think one of the rules is don't talk to strangers, but okay.
I think that is one of the rules. So give us a text or give us a call.
I got a leg up, I think.
Because you're not going to talk to strangers?
Yeah. I'm going to live.
You're going to live. Mike, would you live long? You said that you had an answer for this. Oh, wait. I wanted you to take the quiz, and then we'll see how you line up.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie. For instance, number one, you can never have sex. Big no-no. Big no.
I'm a dead man.
Even in pop, sex equals death, okay? Number two, you can never drink or do drugs. No. The sin factor. It's a sin. It's an extension of number one. And number three, never, ever, ever, under any circumstances, say, I'll be right back. Because you won't be back.
I'm getting another beer. You want one?
Yeah, sure.
I'll be right back.
I love the movie Scream. Were you guys fans of Scream? That was a big movie for me.
Yeah, it was a good movie.
Big time.
We're talking about horror movies. It's October, so we're talking about horror movies. First of all, are you a big horror movie person, Esmeralda?
No.
Yeah.
Well, it depends.
Mm-hmm.
If they're those scary, like, Hostel and those very, like, gory, I think they call them, like, horror porn.
Right.
Because it's just so gory.
So
I don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll watch the older stuff, like Nightmare on Elm Street,
okay.
The thriller, kind of like The Ring. Like,
right.
I'm fine with that.
Mike, how about you?
Absolutely, yeah.
You're a big horror guy.
Big horror guy. I used to be more so when Blockbuster and Redbox were still around because that's all they would fill the aisles with.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be forced to be a horror fan at that time.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I used to like go up and down the lines. I used to have like horror movie like specifications. Like it has to have this kind of actress or this kind of 4-star rating. It has to be R at all times or else it won't be scary at all.
So you were very OCD about this.
Very OCD.
You got to talk to Nick DiGilio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love really. Him. Oh my God. So I don't like pop-out scary movies, but I like psychological thrillers. Like give me Silence of the Lambs any day because that's creepy as all get
up. I have seen that movie way too many times.
Love it.
I don't know why.
Because serial killers
like,
are
fascinating. No, but it'll just be on TV, and I'm just like, all right. And then I just sit there and watch the whole thing.
Serial killers are so fascinating. But if it's like jump out and go boo, first of all, I don't like it. I watch the whole movie with my fingers over my eyes because I don't like that sensation. So I'm not a huge horror movie. Like October, I don't like watch one every night because some of the networks put one on every single night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is all lead up to this question. How long would you last in a horror movie? Because there's some people that die right away. There's some people that last the whole movie. So we are going to take a quiz. I'm going to administer a quiz first to Mike and Esmeralda. Then I want to do it to you guys as well. 312-981-7200. And I want to see how it lines up. Now, there's 10 questions in this quiz. So we're going to try and zip through this. Otherwise, it might get a little boring. But do you want to go first, Esmeralda?
Okay.
All right. How long would Esmeralda last in a horror movie? Okay. Question one. You enter your significant other's house, but it's dark and no one else is home. What do? Do you announce that you're loudly announce that I'm about to take a shower?
So dirty.
Do you leave immediately? Do you grab a knife from the kitchen or do you whisper hello, hello over and over?
I'd probably. Why would you whisper? You know what? I'm gonna leave.
You're gonna leave.
When you just walk it into people's houses.
You're gonna leave immediately.
And it's
actually,
all
Mike,
dark.
Do you have the quiz pulled up too, or are you just clicking on an empty computer?
Still clicking on an empty computer.
I didn't send it to you.
But I do know the answer.
Okay. Okay.
Questions.
What would yours be?
Probably whisper hello.
Okay.
Right. You know, just sneak up on them.
So you're gonna end up being the murderer
that's
in this.
Sexy. Just whisper in their ear.
Hello.
All right. So Mike whispers hello, hello. Okay, Mike. All right. I got many tabs open. This is gonna end up terribly. Okay, Esmeralda and Mike. Question number two. Which of the following best describes you? Athlete, nerd, jock, guy or girl next door.
I'm going to go with the girl next door.
The girl next door. Okay.
It's very appropriate. I have pigtails on.
Mike, how about you?
Nerd jock.
No, that's not an answer. Athlete, nerd geek, or girl or guy next door?
Oh.
You just kind of formed both.
Guy or girl next door.
Really?
Okay. What was the first one again?
No, you're done. Yeah, you're not an
you're
athlete.
You're done. Mathlete, that's it?
Maybe.
Mathlete. Okay, guy, girl next door. Okay. Oh, God. It's asked me to do a flash update. This is going terribly. Are you keeping track of your answers?
I am.
Okay. All right. You're hiding in a closet and you hear footsteps nearby. What do? Do you make a run for it? Do you stay quiet? Do you whimper uncontrollably? Or do you peek through the crack?
I make a run for it.
Okay. You're going to make a run for it. Mike, what do?
So what was the first one more time?
Oh, my goodness. You're hiding in a
update.
Closet. Flash update, yes. You're hiding in a closet. You hear footsteps nearby. What do? Make a run for it. Do you stay quiet? Do you whimper uncontrollably or do you peek through the crack?
Blast right through that closet and just hit him right in the nose.
That is not an answer.
You know that closet has a wall, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to blast.
So is that peek through the crack? Is that what that one is?
I peek through the crack.
Okay.
Yeah, I got to see what's going on, you know?
Yes. Okay. Flash update. All right. The villain, question four. The villain is chasing you around the house. Where do you go? Do you run upstairs? Do you go into the basement? Do you go back in the closet or do you go outside?
Outside.
Get the heck out of there, right? Mike?
I would say jump outside.
Jump outside.
Yeah.
Right. You're more space to run around. Okay. Lying in bed at night, you hear a strange noise coming from downstairs. What do? Do you go back to sleep? It's probably the wind. Do you call out, is anybody there? Do you lock the door or do you hide under the bed?
I lock the door.
Okay, so you're staying inside, all right. You have other options, you're thinking.
Yeah, these are really, like, wimpy kind of things that you could do. You're just going to, like, hide or, like, be like, hello?
Well, you can lock the door.
Okay, let's say, you lock the door, but you're locking yourself in then.
Yeah, that's what Esmeralda's doing. She's in trouble. She's going to be down to, like, 4 minutes.
You know, hide underneath the bed.
Hide underneath the bed.
That's better.
Cool. Yeah, never works.
Go down and look for him, and while you're down there, get something from the fridge.
You just walk by the
and
murderer.
Then go back to bed.
Yeah, hey, multitask.
Well, you talk to strangers that way.
Yeah, it's true.
Get a crock pot and put it next to the bed like I did that one time I told you about Esmeralda. All right. You're driving along a country road at night with friends when the car engine dies. What do you do next, okay? So the car's dead. Do you stay in the car while everyone else looks for a gas station? So they're all out. You're still in the car. Everyone sleeps in the car till morning. So you say, let's all just sleep it off here on the side of the road. Do you wander off into the woods looking for cell service? Or do you take turns keeping watch at night?
Well, none of those sound good, but everyone sleeps in the car until morning.
Okay, yeah. So everyone's going to bed. Roger's doing that too. All right, Mike, what about you?
Jumping out of the car, siphoning gas from the nearest gas station, bringing it back to my car, bringing it back to life, hot wiring it, and getting the heck out of there.
Wow.
Hot wiring.
Okay, so the
Mr.
closest
criminal
one
on the run here.
Stealing a car.
The closest one to that is wandering off the woods looking for cell service.
Exactly. See, that presumes you don't have that cell service. Yeah.
Oh, Mike, you're just the murderer, I'm pretty sure. You're too crafty for this. All right.
Too nice.
This is kind of taking a tour, but on question 7 is, your ideal getaway, is it somewhere tropical? Is it a road through the countryside? Is it a secluded resort in the mountains, or is it my house where it's safe?
Somewhere tropical.
All right, so Esmeralda, you're doing somewhere tropical. Can you update that one? Because I've got a flash update. Because I'm on Internet Explorer. update sounds like something dirty, too. I'm going through a little flash update. Okay.
Yeah, you do that in the tropical weather, I suppose.
And Mike, what about your ideal getaway?
Definitely tropical weather.
All right, somewhere tropical.
Seems safe.
Very
you
safe.
Said country,
nothing.
Country getaway.
Yeah, is yours country getaway, Roger?
I like get out in the country.
Right. Well, you also jumped in halfway through this quiz, so I have no results
it's
for
too
you,
late,
Roger. But keep on answering. I mean, you're more than welcome to. I just will not have an answer for you. All right. The killer, Mike Heigemann, is pounding at your front door. So Mike's here. He's about to murder you. What do you do? Do you try and hold the door shut? I mean, because he's an athlete nerd, so yeah, he could do. No. Mm. Do you try and hold it shut? Do you scream for help? Do you lock the deadbolt and run out the back, or do you move all your furniture in front of the door?
I lock the deadbolt and run out the back.
That's a good one. Mike?
What was it? Jump out the window?
There's no jump out the window, Mike. Would you listen to the answers and give the appropriate response?
I would shove all the furniture in front of the door.
Okay.
Just so I could use them as weapons later as he's blasting through the door. Or or she. Or it.
Or sure. You're right. There are. Yeah, I saw a monster. There's women killers. Okay. Mm. Roger, what would you do?
Ask him if he wants some pizza.
You are a pizza guy. You do. Yeah, you know,
I'd invite him in for pizza. I always got pizza.
Well, I mean, if he's going to kill me, you might as well enjoy a bite.
Well, if he's going to kill me with a knife, I say, can I borrow it? I need to cut the pizza.
Have you ever
ask him if he likes pepperoni or just plain cheese.
That's a great question. You know, I've never seen a murderer or a movie with a pizza slicer as the weapon. That'd be good.
Because they're so
and it's a pizza delivery guy. And he comes with, and he's a slicer.
Well, that's a little too
What
on
do you
the
call
nose,
it? What do you
it?
Call it? Slicer?
Come on.
Let's call it slicer.
You want it in slices or squares?
Engage the man. Yeah, okay. All right, question 9. You think your house might be haunted. What do you do? Do you call the priest? Do you hold a seance? Do you move immediately? Or do you try and record the paranormal activity? Esmeralda? So what are you doing? Your house is haunted.
I didn't know priests were that, you know, that they came.
Oh, have you seen The Exorcist? I mean, come on, that's what they do.
Yeah, next showing it on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Ooh.
If you
move,
need
you know what? Move immediately.
Yeah. Right,
no, I'm leaving.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, Mike?
Well, I had to take this one seriously because this kind of stuff, you know, is very scary.
That one's serious.
Okay. This is serious, yeah.
I would probably record it. So then I could find out where they're at, see what kind of corner they're sitting in so I could be ready with the furniture.
Wow.
Okay, yeah, because you've already moved the furniture to the door, so you're
you
already locked
in. You know
they're
ghosts. Right. You can't really.
All right, Esmeralda, you've knocked out the killer. What do you do next? Do you finish the killer off, like really finish it off? Do you run away again? Do you get close to see if the killer is still breathing? That's never good. I don't know why you're doing like a CPR on the killer. Or do you take a picture with your phone, evidence for the cops later?
No, I'm finishing them off.
You're just, if you have a gun, you're, that's
it. Are you kidding me? Yeah, you shoot them 20 times.
20 times?
Make sure they're dead.
Right. Cold slicer ain't going to come back from that. Mike?
One, how dare they interrupt my tropical vacation?
So now he's mad.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Two, I think that I it would have to be finish them off.
Finish,
I mean,
the killer.
It has to do it.
Yeah. Roger, what about you?
I'd have some more pizza.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I mean, I got a little time.
All right, so that's all the answers. So Esmeralda.
So I apparently would last 76 minutes in a
wow.
horror movie. So that's, I'd almost
that's
last
pretty
to
good.
The end.
You would almost make it the whole way.
And for some reason, I'm the hero's significant other.
Mm-hmm.
How about I'm the hero? Although I'm just running away and be like, bye, guys.
Well, yeah, you don't quite make it to the end. So, Mike, how long do you think you make it? What was your answer going to be before we did the quiz?
Oh, absolutely admonish the killer in question and then just, you know, run to safety as the hero of the town where they throw
wow.
me a parade as, mm-hmm. as major Ghostbuster, obviously.
You've thought this one out.
So what a bummer is this? It tells me that I'd be the hero's significant other. It says, we run out, both of us. But mm-hmm. unfortunately, I trip over a root in the woods and sprain my ankle.
Oh.
The villain grabs me out of nowhere and gives my sweetie time to escape.
Oh.
What kind of significant other is that they're not coming back to help me?
You've been sacrificed for the better good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mike,
good for
you
nothing.
Think you'd last the whole way.
Oh, shoot.
But you're not even close to Esmeralda.
Uh-oh.
You would last 56 minutes, not even an hour.
Yeah.
You're
oh,
just
man.
Trying to help. You're the last survivor with any practical know-how, mm-hmm. so that's good. So you're the last one that, like, you know, had some thoughts, but the only one that really stands a chance at stopping the villain, but you don't.
Oh.
So you're the one that everyone thinks will be the one that's going to do it, and that makes sense. You got the glasses on. You look so smart right there, but it turns out—
You look smart,
You
but,
don't even make it an hour. How about that?
You missed it by that much.
WGN, happy Sunday morning. Esmeralda Leon and myself, John Hansen, filling in for Dave Plyer.
Dave
Plyer. Last week we filled in for a guy named Matt Bubala.
Mm-hmm.
A guy named, everyone knows, our listeners know who Matt mm-hmm. Bubala is. He hosts on Friday, Saturday mornings, and is on all the time. Matt's an awesome guy. But Matt Bubala is maybe my favorite radio name I've ever said. So the whole show we couldn't stop saying Matt Bubala
Matt
in different
Bubala.
Ways.
Matt Bubala.
My Bubala.
Yeah, it feels good.
I like it.
Zach, give it a shot now.
Bubala.
Yeah, there you go. Heidemann, you got one for us?
Bubala.
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 All right. Love it.
I go back with Matt, though.
Do you go back?
Yeah.
Long time?
Long time.
Were you his producer at one point?
At one time, and actually Dave Plyer was that was my first producing gig that I had here at the station.
And they keep on kicking you out. You seem to be bouncing around a lot.
Well,
yeah. All right, then.
That's very true. Much like a slasher film. They just want me out.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I like the way Zach said it, because it sounds like at the end of a sentence, like, Bubala.
Yeah.
He's dropping the Bubala.
Yeah.
That dude just Bubala'd me.
312-981-7200. We started off the show by talking about approaching strangers. Esmeralda and I are the exact opposite on this.
Yeah.
So I will talk to any stranger. In fact, it improves my day when I do so. Esmeralda?
No, I don't want to talk to people.
And you don't
strangers.
Want people talking to you?
No, I only do it for money. Talk to strangers for money.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So what about you two? I mean, you're comedians, obviously. You obviously talk here very well. You fit in really well. Are you guys people that will approach someone in the elevator and just strike up a conversation?
Absolutely. 100%.
No.
I love
really?
It.
Really?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. No, it's weird, right?
I'm a real crowd work daddy. Yeah, for sure.
Like, we spend a lot of time together, and he gets in a lot of nonsense trouble. On the road. Like
I can't
once,
imagine
yeah,
why.
Yeah, once he had a magician yell at him in a store.
Wait, what? Really?
He wouldn't tell me his secrets.
Wait a minute.
Wait, back up here.
What's, like, just a supermarket?
No, at a magic shop.
Oh, okay.
I was like, where are you running as a magician? We were at CVS.
You had the top hat and the cape.
Yeah, we're in San Francisco and he gets kicked out of a magic shop.
Oh, I forgot about this. Yeah, well, he wouldn't tell me his... He literally wouldn't tell me his secrets, all right? It was a whole thing.
Well, of course not.
I was picking up tricks, and I was like, how do you do this one? And he was like, are you a working magician? And I was like, no, you're sassy. And he was like, put that down. That's for real magicians. And I was like, what? Are you serious?
And Zach was like, we got to go.
Yeah, I was out on the street just going, this is nonsense.
I don't just harangue people.
That's exactly what he does.
To talk to people. I think it's good for you, though. I think
I'm curious, though, with the magician thing. Don't they talk to each other? Like, how do you find out how to do tricks? I think he was in the wrong, that magician. He should have told you stuff.
Or was he saying that since you're not in the guild or whatever
it might be? The guild.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, but how do you bring in people?
I don't know. You gotta make love to a dwarf and... I don't know. I don't know how you do it. I don't know if you prey upon a rainbow and hug a dragon. I don't know what you do.
You find the scrolls.
Yeah, you find the scrolls. Right? You sacrifice a virgin under a blood moon, and you drip the blood on a talisman, and then you have powers. I don't know what it is.
I'd watch that movie. That's a good slasher flick.
That's what Penn and Teller did.
Yeah, absolutely. One of them lost his voice on account of it.
Okay, so Kevin likes to talk to strangers and gets in trouble for it. Does it put you off, Zach?
Yes.
What if people come up to you? Is that troublesome?
Yes. Absolutely.
It's weird.
I have nothing to talk about.
He's passed people off on me.
Yeah.
Kevin can answer that for you.
I just keep walking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you see one of us at a show, I know you don't see our faces right now, but one of us is loud, and if you want to say something after a show, find the loud one. But it gets me good things. See, like, we were on the road to, where were we, Des Moines or something?
Sure.
I walk in a t-shirt shop, and I wind up getting free I got myself a free t-shirt. I didn't get Zach one because he was quiet and weird. But sometimes you walk in and you sweet talk one of the sales associates and they go, yeah, just take one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
that's
I love it.
That's how I feel. That's
great.
I've done that all the time as well.
What was the t-shirt?
I don't know. Something dumb. But I got it for free, baby.
Have you ever worn it?
Yeah, it was a little tight. I didn't try it on first. But the idea stands. It's good to have those kind of social skills, right?
I talk to the people at the supermarket. I've become friends with my mom and pop supermarket folks, and I swear I see them when they swipe the things on the red or when they're entering things. I get half the stuff for free,
yeah,
just
because
I'm nice. Oh yeah, they never charge me for these things.
Yeah, what is this? What lube? Yeah, take it. Hey, you're charming.
Right? Is there lube? I should look if there's lube because I do need. Could use.
I want to know why you two are such cowards. Huh?
What Heidemann talks to people.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
no,
big time.
Yeah. No, I don't.
These two, sorry.
I just don't want to talk to people because then they start asking questions and I'm like, no, I don't care. And I keep walking. I don't even know my neighbors. There was a fire in my apartment, like next door.
And you didn't tell anyone.
You locked the door on your way out. Yes. You're like, ugh.
But they all came out, and they're all just talking amongst each other. I'm just in the corner like, I don't know you people.
Yeah. Really?
You live upstairs? I hate you.
I will say, it's not that I'm usually in the mood to talk, but I will say there are moments, and I don't know if you feel this way, Kevin, where there are moments where you're like, I really don't. I am actually shutting this off. Today, and you mentioned the neighbor thing, I recognized someone going, I didn't recognize the person going in our apartment door, and I literally walked around the block, so I didn't have to have that conversation in the stairwell. So I guess there are moments like that, but for me, that's very few and very far between.
I wouldn't even talk to people I know. Sometimes. No, like, say you're walking down like downtown, and if I see someone that I know, I just pretend not to know them / see them.
So you don't have to do it?
No, because there's been times when I've waved at people, and then they don't wave back, and I'm like, great, I look like a crazy person. So now I wait for them to come to me.
I hate small talk, right?
Isn't
you don't
that
like
what
small...
all it is? That's all
nah.
it is?
No, see, I love small talk.
But you're not going to go out of your way and go across the street, hey, Greg!
No.
And he's like, okay.
Right.
You know,
in fact, that's a good point. I think I actually like talking to strangers more than people I know.
Strangers, because you get to know them.
Right.
Yes. Yes.
I already know this other person. We don't need to engage in this. How have things been going? I see on Facebook you're a crazy person. That's fine. I'm already cut up. You know, Esmeralda, that's interesting that you mentioned that you don't sometimes like to talk to people you know, because I sometimes feel like when I Facebook chat you, I get a very dismissive thumbs up. That's all I'll get back.
You emoji him?
That's it. I'll be like, oh, Esmeralda, I'm so excited for the show. I got these ideas. Here's 10 of them. And I get thumbs up from Esmeralda.
Yeah.
And I was like, God, I don't know. She just must not be. Well, you have a really strange cycle of sleeping, so I have no idea.
I guess I'll write a diatribe the next time you talk to me.
I'd like some feedback. I'd like to know what you think of the show that I've come up with.
Yeah.
Or we've come up with. Thumbs up.
Thumbs up?
Wow. Things are coming out tonight.
You just said that you've come up with. That's why you get the thumbs up.
No. Yeah. I'm kind of crazy when it comes to coming up with ideas.
Oh, your guests are looking around wondering where this mysterious voice is.
Right?
Oh, yeah. There's that
Seriously.
TV.
That's Roger. You can look at the TV. That's Roger up in news.
Right there. Roger.
Hi, guys.
Hey. He can see you as well.
I thought only I was hearing that.
Actually,
no, that's all right.
Actually, our listeners, they can tune in to WGNradio.com and see us. There's cameras all over.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Great.
Don't
okay.
be too freaked out.
Just act natural, everybody. All right. Let me put this pipe down.
312-981-7200. We're talking. And why don't you guys plug again what you're doing tonight for those that might just be tuning in.
Hit it, Zach.
Oh, good. I get to talk.
You get to talk to the strangers out there.
Yeah, I'm not even thrilled about talking now.
8 o'clock?
8 p.m. at North and Ashland.
Yes.
1637 West North Avenue.
Got it.
$5.
Ugh, amazing.
What is the topic tonight? Or what's the battle?
Ooh. Man versus machine?
Open carry versus open container?
Canada versus Australia?
And paper versus plastic.
How do you come up with those? Is it just what absurd things we can think about?
We have a master list.
Mm-hmm. Really? You
know, I actually leaned into him earlier, like right before we went on air, and I pitched one to him. Do you remember what it was?
Can we say it?
I don't remember.
Yeah, we're really good at our job.
Did you write it down?
No, it's up here in the old brain box where it's important.
It's gone forever.
I wonder if the fact that we're kind of in debate season with politics, if that is going to get people more interested in that sort of thing. I don't know. Does that? I mean, it's not the same. Is it do they stand and do they go back and forth, or does one person make their case and then another person makes their entire case?
Great question. We actually give each comic 2 rounds each.
Okay.
So let's say you and I are debating. Mm-hmm. I'll go, you'll go, and then I get a rebuttal and you get a rebuttal.
So you are reacting to what the other comic might say a little bit, too.
Mm-hmm. So
how do you find out who wins?
Is it the audience votes.
Oh, audience?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, it's public shaming if you lose. And if you win, we all lift you up on our shoulders and carry you around.
Do you
no,
get
you're
anything?
Shaking your head. All right, it's not that fantastic.
Do you
fantastic.
Get a trophy?
We used to have buttons.
Quit bragging.
Wow. Yeah.
You get a free t-shirt you're never going
to
wear.
No, what we do is we give winner and loser buttons, and the loser has to wear it around like a scarlet letter and be shamed for at least a week.
I like it.
That's what we ask.
It sounds like, I don't know, I think this is fascinating. I think you want to check it out, Esmeralda?
You can listen to all of our episodes at argumentsandgrievances.com.
That's a great point.
Look at this.
Perfect.
So we got to get going here in a moment, but I want to ask obviously, podcasting, we do a ton of it here at WGN, WGN Plus. Mike's got sound sessions. There's a billion podcasts out there. It's such a cool, I don't want to say it's a new format because it's been around for some time. But do you guys find that, you know, having the live element to it makes it that everyone will go home and listen to it? Do you see like a spike in your listenership based on as you do more shows? Is there momentum to it? I've asked 9 questions in a row and you guys are welcome to answer any of them at your leisure. So
it's like the SATs.
Yeah.
I feel like we get a big spike depending on who the guest is.
Mm-hmm.
So every now and then we'll get a bigger name that we're really excited about, and we'll see like a little bit of spike in listenerships. But what that results in is, of course, followers and things like that, and I learned to love the show. What was one of those questions again?
I don't really know. I was just trying to get to 3:30.
I just got that last one in, and I... petered out. Good God.
No, that was... I was wondering how big, like, your following, if it just continues to grow. As podcast is growing, is it exponential? I mean, are you seeing a real boost in it?
Yes, you asked about, like, with the debates, the presidential debates and things like that. Yeah, a lot of times sometimes we'll tailor things to current events and things like that. That always helps, and there's, like, a little spike. Or sometimes an old one will come back to bite us. Remember we had like the Bill Cosby debate a while ago?
A long time ago.
A long time ago. Before all this came out, we had a Richard Pryor versus Bill Cosby debate.
Oh, my.
And then, of course, when the Bill Cosby thing came out, it was like spike. But it was like, no. Like we had to go let that comic know. Like, I don't think anybody – I think they know when this was recorded, I hope.
Right.
I hope they don't think this was recorded like this week. But yeah, definitely current events do have an effect on things like that, yeah.
Cool. Kevin and Zach, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, dude, thanks so much for having us.
This is a lot of fun. This is a lot of fun. It's tonight at 8 p.m. at North 1637 West North Avenue. Okay, we got to take – Mike, can you stick around for a little bit longer?
Sure.
You're not going to fall asleep or anything like that?
No, I think I'm good.
Yeah. All right, we're going to get – we're going to news, right? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, cool. I was right. Okay. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. WGN. Dave Plyer is out tonight. It's myself and Esmeralda Leon. We're halfway through. Halfway through, we're getting there.
Oh.
I know. I'm kind of sad. It goes by so fast.
It does.
So fast. Mike, our time, Mike Heidemann joining us as well. You've been here for a while, and this time goes so fast, but you have a little gift, don't you?
Oh, that's right.
You have a surprise.
It seems
brown...
I do.
All right. What do you got for us?
Yeah, it's a brown bag here, and John.
I always need brown bags. Uh-huh. Thank you.
I thought I'd give you a gift because we had kind of a conversation, a grievance and argument earlier this week.
Oh, what was it about again? What one of the many things we've argued about this week?
True, it was in fact about Subway versus Diet Squirt.
Okay.
Wait, what?
So I don't know if it's So I love Diet Squirt. I think it's a fantastic soda and an option. Mike doesn't. Mm-hmm. Mike also showed up with a breakfast sandwich. I was telling you this the other day, and it wasn't breakfast time, which is fine. But it was a Subway foot-long breakfast sandwich on the big bread, and I just think that's really weird to have that mushy much bread and that. So what do you got for me?
You know, Mr. Subway would be very upset with your hate for his delicious bread.
Mr. Subway.
But yes, I will give you this. I'm going to hand it over to you right now.
All
right,
so it's coming across the thing. Oh, whoa.
Are there stains on the brown paper bag?
Well, what kind of... Ew.
Well, that means it's, the juices
Roger,
are leaking
it's not pizza,
through.
If you're...
Huh? Yeah, pizza.
Okay, so Mike, it is a 2 liter of regular Squirt.
It is, and I bought it for a reason. Diet Squirt stinks, and you should live a little. Drink the regular Squirt.
Go full
great.
Sugar.
38 grams of sugar. There's in 12 ounces. All right, I will. I'm actually out. I had my last of Diet Squirt earlier today, and I didn't have time to go to my supermarket to get my lube and Diet Squirt, so here I am with my Squirt. Thank
Wait,
you.
Wait, you're what? And Diet Squirt?
Which, by the way, I shouldn't be saying lube and Squirt.
Thank you.
I shouldn't be saying any of those things together.
Walked right into, well, cool. It's the most, just bringing it back to G-level ratings here,
right.
it's the most retro soda. Mm-hmm. I've never heard anyone be a fan of Squirt soda, ever.
Although Squirt is delicious with tequila, FYI.
Ooh. Yeah, so I had to beg the Puerto Rico food and deli near my house to get Diet Squirt. He gets it now for me, just for me. He holds off 12 packs of it behind the register and all that stuff.
Wait, behind the register? So no one else can buy
Squirt?
Well,
he makes sure that there's one left for me, a 12-pack, every, like, Monday.
Oh, so this means that people are buying
He was like, I'm really surprised because he never had Diet Squirt. And he says it's going off the shelves like hotcakes.
Look at that, Mike.
Well, it's funny you say that because the original plan was to get the Diet Squirt and like be like, oh, here you go. Here's some Diet Squirt. But it's not sold anywhere in Chicago.
So that's the thing. Really hard to find. It is really hard to find.
So,
this means
a
lot. This means a lot to me, Mike. Thank you so much. As I'm cradling a Squirt in my 2 liter here. Well, that's very kind for you, Mike.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it.
If you'd like to see John cradle the Squirt, you can go to WGNradio.com and stream it live.
Miosha is being so patient here as we're talking through this. Miosha Thomas, he runs Combat to Chic and also One Savvy Veteran. Miosha, thanks so much for joining us today. Did you think you'd be walking into this?
Oh, no. I'm actually very much entertained right now.
You're so proper and stuff, and we're going off the rails a little bit. Miosha, why don't you tell us what One Savvy Vet is, first and foremost, and then also work in your story. You've got a fascinating story yourself.
One Savvy Veteran is a nonprofit here in Chicago that supports women veterans in Illinois. I am a female veteran, 10-year Navy veteran. I just noticed that when I came back home that in 2010 that there just wasn't enough services that support women veterans. Too often when you think of a veteran, you don't always think of a woman first.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that a little bit personal.
Right.
Considering I am a female veteran, so... I stepped out on faith and a limb and decided to start this organization. We aren't grant funded. It's all donor base or out me and my mother's pocket. But we've been doing really well, really helping a lot of women throughout the women veterans throughout the city own their story, help civilians honor women veterans the same way we honor our male counterparts. It is a male-dominated military, but it's not a male-only military. So One Savvy Veteran seeks to just sort of put that narrative out that, hey, we serve too. And, you know, we deserve the same honor and recognition that our male counterparts do.
What are the challenges that are unique to women veterans? Is it just that, you know, that since it's not first in people's mind that that's what a veteran is, that they don't get, is it respect or is it, you know, recognition or is it just comfort and a community that to call your own?
I think it's all of the above. It starts with the mindset. So if you don't think of women first, a lot of policy and programs are shaped around a thought. Even the way the VA is set up, women weren't thought about, how we have to get to the women's center. The women's center is great, but you got to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to navigate this sea of men who's kind of misogynistic, and maybe that generation hasn't seen too many women, that's tough to deal with. Even the policies, that are shaping the city, my healthcare is different than mm-hmm. men. The type of resources, homelessness is highest amongst women veterans because there's not enough resources. We're constantly building veteran housing in Illinois, but there's for all men, but there's no all women veteran
Interesting.
Housing.
So it is. It has to do with the legislation and the policy too, as in addition to forming a community.
Yes.
You know, it's fascinating because Mirsch and I met in Pilsen, in the Pilsen neighborhood, as part of one of your, I guess, what is this, a side or a branch off of what you do called Combat to Chic. We met in a little room, and there was like seven of y'all there. Talk about Combat to Chic really quickly, and then I've got a, you know, it was just fascinating meeting you all.
Thank you so much. Combat to Chic, we sort of took the Goodwill Salvation Army model and created a resale shop where women veterans can shop for free, because in the military, you kind of lose your girly. So coming home, trying to dress for an interview or a barbecue or a wedding is like this overwhelming experience with all the choices that you have. We didn't get that many choices in the military.
Mm-hmm.
So I created Combat to Chic as a to teach women veterans how to dress, to give them free resources to clothing and self-esteem, confidence classes. But we also opened it up to the public as a as another revenue stream. So if you want to support women veterans and you don't know how, come shop.
Yeah. I mean, that's something everyone can get behind. And the stuff you guys had, I was there, was great. It was really cool. I mean, I wouldn't wear it. Scarlett Johansson would wear some of that stuff. my drag personality. But you know, when I met you and the women, it was almost overwhelming that you could get a sense that through One Savvy Veteran and through your efforts, how important that was to the women that were in the room that day. You just got that vibe. They all loved you. They all loved each other, and they had this sense of, I didn't feel a sense of community or family when I came back until I was with these other women. Do you get that from them too?
Yes. You know, when you get out the military, especially if you get out unexpectedly, like I was, I got out on a medical discharge because I was injured. You sort of don't have a plan B. Where do I go from here? You know, you sort of lose your purpose and you're kind of floating through this unknown civilian world that you haven't been a part of in years. So you're looking for community. You're looking for camaraderie again. And when you find it, it's easiest to find it amongst other veterans.
Mm-hmm.
But my organization is really trying to bridge the gap between civilians and military, so that we can be each other's battle buddies, that, you know, a civilian can be your battle buddy. They can support you in your efforts, that a lot of civilians want to welcome us home,
mm-hmm.
but don't know how.
Right.
They just sort of do the thank you for your service,
right.
and kind of leave it at that, without sort of initiating a dialogue. You know, tell me about your service. Thank you for your sacrifice.
Right.
You know, I'm listening. I want to help. Sometimes that gets lost in translation between civilians and military.
And I think it's not necessarily the civilians don't want to talk about it. I know I sometimes don't know how to ask because I feel uncomfortable because I don't know if there's wounds that don't want to be touched from that veteran. I'm going to like bring up things that they don't want to talk about. So maybe after the break, you can break down a little bit more on how we can, how civilians can approach veterans.
Absolutely.
After the break? All right, cool.
Absolutely.
Mike, I know you're going to be leaving us. Thank you so much for the squirt.
John, you are so welcome. It's a pleasure speaking to you tonight. And you, and you as well. You as well, Esmeralda.
Yeah.
And Roger.
Yeah, just a big wave. He's having his pizza. Okay, Mike, you're out of the way.
Yep.
Miosha, you're going to be sticking around. More on the way here on 720 WGN. WGN on this Sunday morning. Esmeralda Leon and myself, John Hansen, in for Dave Plyer. Having a great conversation right now with Miosha Thomas, who runs One Savvy Veteran And we were talking right before the break about that conversation. Esmeralda, do you ever experience that? Do you come from a military family at all? Or
I don't. I actually, no one in my family is in the military, mm-hmm. oddly enough. But I know what you mean when you don't know how to broach a subject with someone. Because, again, you don't want to bring anything up that's a sensitive subject or something of that sort. So you kind of stay away from that if you don't know. Especially me. I don't know anything really about military.
I don't know the lingo either, you know, yeah. And I feel like that's a barrier for us. So help us out, Miosh. How do we approach a veteran and not only recognize their sacrifice and their service, but open up a conversation and a dialogue?
You know, I just believe that it starts with, you know, definitely the thank you for your sacrifice, because service is different for every veteran. Mm-hmm. But, hey, tell me your story. You know, most veterans just need an opportunity to share their story in a non-judgmental, safe space. And if you can create that safe space for a veteran, that's quite helpful, because it gives them an opportunity to share the burden with you. You know, when you tell someone your story, you give a piece of the burden away, and then it becomes shared, and that creates bonds, and bonds create bridges.
Does sharing stories with civilians kind of help the re-entry process, I guess you could say? Do those dialogues, like you say, each time you have one of those, a little bit less and less, there's that divide, there's that gap, that moat between civilian and returning veteran, at least, I don't want to say goes away, but at least becomes more comfortable to cross?
Absolutely. You know, the civilian world puts us on a pedestal almost as heroes. And yeah. Majority of veterans don't feel that way. You know, there's some type of guilt associated with our service. So to create a space where I don't feel guilty, I don't feel the shame of what I did or what I had to do to sacrifice for this country, that you are welcoming us back with open arms, not necessarily the pedestal, mm-hmm. but not above you, but as equals.
That's interesting that you say that, because we really do, and I think rightfully so, I think the intention is good, but that is, I don't want to say embarrassing, but it's almost like the sense of, I don't know, embarrassing isn't the right word, but a sense of like, oh, do I deserve this, or I was just doing my job, things like that. Roger, I know you have a question. Yeah,
My dad served in World War II and Korea War, and I know that there are some things he would talk about openly and others he wouldn't. And I also know from my interaction with others who served in Vietnam that depending on where you served and what you experienced, that kind of determines how open you're going to be. Is that something that we can kind of feel out at the beginning of a conversation to see how much we should go slowly in the conversation?
I think that too often we focus on veterans returning back to who they were instead of just accepting who they are now. I think when you open the dialogue, allow the veteran to share what they want to mm-hmm. share. You know, you don't have to push for your questions or how many people they possibly killed during the questions.
Is that a question that comes up a lot?
You know, yes.
And I would never feel okay asking that question.
You'd be surprised. Sometimes the children ask, and you know, it's like, okay, kids want to know, but I've gotten it from adults as well. And it's like, wow, you want, you know, the media shows like these heroes and, you know, this glamour story, cowboys and Indians type lifestyle. And it's not always like that.
It's interesting, Roger, you brought up that question, because I think I know where you're coming at, too, from the standpoint that if you, and this is, again, not knowing how the military works, if you ask someone, oh, are you in the military? And they say, oh, I was stationed in North Carolina, but I never left there. All of a sudden that opens the door to, oh, well, you weren't in combat, so, you know, you didn't have the same circumstance. Whereas if someone was like, oh, I served 3 tours in Iraq, you're like, oh, my gosh, I have to tread so lightly, which I guess is only a natural reaction you'd have. But anyone who's served in the military, whether you did go overseas or not, you're still sacrificing and doing a lot of things. So I guess it's a similar conversation no matter who you're talking to, and at the same time different with every veteran.
Absolutely. And it's that idea that, you know, that those who served in combat somehow had a different or more valor has actually created episodes to where veterans are lying about their service. You know, you this pressure to be a hero. And then when you say, oh, I only served in North Carolina, you get that look all like, oh, OK, well, you didn't really do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, it pushes veterans to almost feel guilty about their service.
Right.
And, you know, they already have a sense of guilt that maybe they didn't, you know, serve as well because they didn't go over there, and then come home to this added guilt to where, oh, you only served in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. You were good. But there are episodes that happen no matter what command you're at. Mm-hmm. Anybody could go. It was really like the roll of the dice. No one really volunteers to go over there. You're selected. And whether you served in combat or out of combat, you still agreed to lay down your life for your country when you first signed up, not knowing if that was going to happen. So our valor is equal across the board.
We have a text from the 708. Didn't catch the name of the nonprofit, One Savvy Veterans. And where is it located? I guess you're located everywhere, but how can people reach you?
Yes. We are located in the Pilsen community, 1618 South Blue Island. They have been very welcoming to us. You can also follow us online, onesavvyveteran.org, or give us a call, 708-462-2682.
We'll put links up on our Facebook page and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Also, the text from the 630, Rich in Florida, says veteranvisitor.com gives veterans the chance to tell their story on their terms, which is interesting. There is a community for that sort of thing, too, which I guess any outlet is a good outlet, whether it's talking physically. We've been talking about talking to strangers all day long. Yes. It's interesting now we're talking about this. Or just typing out your story. Sometimes that is the more comfortable way for people to do it.
Yes. The point is just to get the veterans talking, to get them out, to keep them from isolating, because isolation kills. Isolation is a large part of veteran suicide. I have even been suicidal in my life, and I had a support system. I had a mm-hmm. loving family. I had friends. But until you're ready to open up and share, you isolate. So we encourage through One Savvy Veteran and a lot of other organizations in the city. Illinois is one of the best states for veterans to come out your shell, to reintegrate as you are, not as we would have you.
I don't mean to open up a whole can of worms, and I warned you about this ahead of time, but I got to ask, because you come at this from an interesting perspective, being a veteran and African-American, yes. And so when the Colin Kaepernick thing happened with the kneeling for the, well, first sitting during the anthem, now kneeling during it, there was a lot of, well, this disrespects the vets. And then a lot of vets came back and said, no, this is what I fought for. And you're coming at it from a couple different angles. So what was your opinion of that whole thing?
I am a complete supporter of free speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a veteran, I absolutely agree. That's what we fought for. That's what we encouraged. That's what this nation was founded on. And it's actually a slap to veterans to try to deny anybody that. Secondly, as an African-American, the reason why he's doing it, of course, touches home. I feel exactly the same way. It made me rethink. What does the pledge mean to me? I think too often we concentrate so much on symbols and symbolism instead of actually doing what the symbol stood for. And I think that's what he's trying to do.
It's interesting you brought up earlier the conversation of the pedestal and how we really, and I think, again, intentions are great, glorifying service and sacrifice with loud renditions of national anthems and these sorts of things. And it's interesting because that kind of plays into this, too, that we're a very patriotic nation. And I don't necessarily think that is a bad thing, but there's areas where that's not such a good thing. Whereas if someone, you know, exercises their right to use those values, to use that freedom of speech, that all of a sudden that becomes so daunting. It's almost counterintuitive to what the patriotism is for.
Right.
I think it's such an obvious concept. But again, I didn't serve, so I know there are some veterans that don't appreciate that along those lines. Did you have conversations with some people in your community about that or no?
Oh, absolutely. we are very much divided on
really?
It. Really? A lot of veterans in our community are stuck on symbolism. You know, the flag is a symbol of their service. No, your service is a symbol of your service. The flag is just a symbol that we were recognized as when we traveled to different countries. But we forget sometimes that the reason, the main purpose, the principle behind the symbol, if everyone is not treated equally, then our service was for naught. So I definitely stand with him. I was actually a part of the whole Twitter thing where I supported
really?
Him and put my picture up. I think it's about the message and not the symbol.
Yeah, I absolutely. It's a fascinating discussion. And again, it's probably a good discussion to have. at the end of the day. I mean, I think we hide from it. I think this really could be, even with all the, you know, the vitriol about this subject and the back and forth, maybe this can be a really great way to talk about not only rights and issues facing the African-American community, facing veterans. Maybe this is this can be a moment where we can shuffle through some of this stuff and actually finally talk about it.
Right. If anything, he started the dialogue, which was his purpose, to start the dialogue, to open these wounds, to talk about the elephant in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it in a big way. He sacrificed. You know, I thank him for his sacrifice. His career is going to be affected, his reputation. He went through a lot just to get us talking.
Mm-hmm.
It shouldn't have had to go through that.
Right. And I think that when people say, why he shouldn't use this stage. That's his stage. That's what he should use it for. Absolutely. Right. All right, Miosha, one more time. One Savvy Veteran, how can they reach you?
So you can reach One Savvy Veteran by going to onesavvyveteran.org. And that's onesavvyveteran.org. 708-462-2682.
You got such a great radio voice. You should come on more often, Miosha.
Thank you.
All right, thanks for joining us.
Oh, and you're listening to 720 WGN. I'm Esmeralda Leon. I'm here with John Hansen, and we are here for another hour.
Do you remember when you forgot my name a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I went, John, yeah, you know your name.
The first time we co-hosted together.
I didn't forget it. It just slipped my mind. That's, I mean, okay. I called Rob Martier Rob Martrick.
That's right. And you work with him every single day.
I know. I felt so bad.
That's okay.
Rob Martrick is someone else, I believe.
Okay. It's an actor.
He's
sure.
Legislator.
Legislator.
Oh, okay. So Robert it was an actual
he's always on. Is it Robert? Robert Martrick?
I believe it's Robert.
I think that's what I was thinking of. Because Rob Martier looks so stately.
He does.
That's stately. Why I thought.
He does have a very stately look, Rob Martier.
He does. Yeah.
Roger doesn't. But
I look like a ghost.
Roger's always eating pizza.
Yeah.
I eat pizza and I look like a slob.
Oh, no. I didn't mean it like that, Roger.
Well, I mean, let's tell it like it is. I look like, you know.
You look very stately
eating
pizza.
You can only
pizzas.
See me from the shoulders up. I mean, seriously.
Oh, no.
What's going on?
What's going on?
You don't want to know. Never mind.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a whole other film. How long would Roger last? Never mind. We won't even.
Yeah, right.
Not in a slasher, but how long?
I think we're getting out of them safe harbor times. Oh,
okay.
Anyway, so I was reading this article about cyclists and a way to help them out if you're a driver.
Okay.
It's a Dutch maneuver.
Yeah,
so I cycle
a lot?
A little bit.
Okay.
A little bit. Okay. In the summer, I'm like a fair weather bicyclist.
All right.
Only when it's nice out. You said that you tried a divvy once?
Yeah, I had divvy for a year, and when I worked downtown, I used it fairly often, and like probably 20 times, but I don't use it anymore because I drive now to work because it's 3 in the morning. So
how did you, it's scary, right?
So the very first time, I was frightened. I mean, and I was in a protected lane. I wasn't even in the shared lanes, and I'm sure that, you know, you have had this experience, you can talk about it more, but I was like a block into my first ride. And someone opened a door about 10 feet in front of me. I had enough time to stop.
Yeah.
But it's very scary.
Yeah, I've been doored.
like full
on. I was downtown and I wasn't going very fast because I was downtown and you just stop all the time. So I wasn't going too fast. So luckily I just kind of got bruised up. But people have been known, if they're going fast enough, you can fly over your bike. You break collarbones. You can break many bones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's
really
very dangerous.
Yourself. Yeah. And so this thing, it's called the Dutch Reach.
Okay.
And I guess they teach people in the Netherlands to kind of do this and to keep cyclists in mind.
And they're known for all their cyclists in the Netherlands. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're in your car, you're driving, right?
You've 10 and
parked.
2. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you've parked and you're going to get out.
Right.
So what you do is rather than use the hand closest to the door, so because we're on the right or left side, you would use your right hand to open the door and that would make your whole body turn. So then you would look out the window.
It forces you to.
Exactly.
It naturally rotates you.
Exactly. So you see, or, you know, you may not exactly look behind you, but you'll see the mirror.
Right.
So you'll have some sort of view of behind your car and if anybody is coming up.
So I've witnessed a couple doorings and every single time the person that opens the door, I mean, they immediately feel terrible. I think they know what they've done wrong. I know, right? because I think that because I do now look for bikers having mm-hmm. been on the roads, but you know sometimes you're in a rush and you just don't think it. We're just in Chicago. We're not quite there yet with being used to each other, and there's exactly. still this such acrimony between cyclists and motorists.
Oh, for sure.
And I just don't think that we're used to each other on the same road yet. We're getting there. We're getting better, and we should be.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's malicious, obviously. I don't think people are dooring people on purpose.
Although the guy that doored me, he said I should be more careful.
Why?
And I was like,
how?
Cool, guy. Thanks.
Were you in a bike lane, or was it shared?
It was. Well, it's downtown, so there's really nothing. Yeah. It was
that
a, it
you
was a
should
shared.
Be more careful?
Yeah. It's like, thank you. Mm-hmm. Cool.
That's
cool
like
guy.
Saying
thanks.
When you're going on a green light and a truck hits you that went through a red light, saying that that you, the guy obeying the law, should be more careful.
Yeah, real cool guy, him.
312-981-7200. Any cyclists out there we want to hear from?
But anyway, I think this is awesome.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything other than use the opposite hand.
So this isn't just naturally what they've always done. This is an actual, they started a campaign to actually get people to do this.
I think that it's a thing that they just do.
Uh-huh, instinctually.
Right. They've been kind of taught to do this mm-hmm. in driver's ed and all that. And so that's what they do because, like you said, there's so many cyclists in the Netherlands.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think they have as much problems as we do here.
It's just
cyclists.
Part of who they are. I mean, like, I could not believe when I was riding my Divi how much I got yelled at and honked at for doing absolutely nothing mm-hmm. wrong. But I think there's like this, because like there are times I'm driving and I'm so mad at cyclists. I don't like when they go through stop signs, and they often do. But like when I was biking, I was like, well, there's no one here. I'm going to go through this damn stop sign. I mean, who cares? Yeah. So I like you got to see it both ways. But do you feel that? I mean, do you feel that? I mean, it's like hatred between cyclists.
I haven't really dealt with much of it. I'm pretty conservative when I bike because mm-hmm. there's some people who are swerving around and going through the lights, and I stop at red lights. I slow down at stop signs because it's such a hassle to get back going, and sometimes there'll be a car behind you and you're like, I have to restart mm-hmm. cycling again. So it's easier just kind of slow down if no one's coming, or usually someone will stop for you. I mean, most cars aren't even, they're doing that slow stop.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
They're still moving. So it's like, come on, guys.
Obviously, this has become big in the news. The first Divi rider cyclist in Chicago, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago now, mm-hmm. died. 32-year-old. And then,
yes. And just recently.
Just very recently. Certainly not the first cyclist death on the roads in Chicago. Right. In fact, I don't know if people are aware of this. I wasn't. Someone had to educate me. If you're ever walking around downtown and you see a bike that's painted white.
Ghost bikes.
Ghost bikes. Mm-hmm. Really powerful. That's usually, a site where someone died, right? That's a site.
I walk by one every day over here by the, by that 7-Eleven and that church.
You know where that is, right? The 7-Eleven? No, I don't.
Oh my gosh. It's like a block or two from the Hard Rock.
Okay, I don't know where that is either.
Well, it's right there, but I see it every day. I look at it, and it makes you think. It makes you think about even just being a pedestrian, crossing the street and looking and making sure, you know, people aren't driving through you.
I think, again, it's just something that we all have to get used to. They call it the hipster highway up Milwaukee Avenue.
Yes.
Because there's so many cyclists that are on there now.
Yeah.
And I think what we got to remember, I think that, again, there's this animosity perhaps between motorists and cyclists. What I try to remember when I see, even if it's a cyclist breaking the rules or whatever it is, that's one less car on the road. It takes up way less space. Mm-hmm. It's way less smog and all the environmental factors. But it really does save traffic. It saves space. And I'm glad, I mean, say what you want about the city and about the mayor, but the initiatives that they've taken to have more protected bike lanes is something that should be applauded. And even though we had the death, obviously, with the Divi bikes, and there's been a lot of boneheaded Divi riders out there.
The
one that went on the Dan Ryan. Mm-hmm. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did.
Then there was the guy who went on Lakeshore Drive.
Yeah.
Like, there's obviously some, but that's the vast, vast, vast minority of Divi riders. And those things are built like tanks. Have you ever ridden a Divi bike?
I have, and they're the worst.
It's like a tank.
I hated it.
Well, it doesn't go
it's
very
just
fast.
It's very heavy, heavy and slow, which kind of helps.
Well, I was talking
in the sense of people driving by you.
Well, I was talking to the guy who runs Divi. We had him on our show, and he was, that is for a reason. Like, they really tested out a lot of different designs of bikes, and they ended up with the heavier, slower one for that exact reason. That number one, it is a little bit, if you get crashed into, the apparatus is built to sustain light crashes, which mm-hmm. can happen on the roadways,
yeah.
obviously. But also because there's only three speeds on it and they don't go very fast, yeah. they don't want people driving those things. Because there's sometimes like you're going down a hill and I'm like, I wish I could really get this thing going a little bit more. It's a good thing that we can't. We would see a lot more problems because I think they max out like at 10 miles an hour.
For sure. And you see a lot of divvy because it's a lot of tourists and stuff and they're on the sidewalks. It's like, come on, guys, no.
So the Dutch grab.
The Dutch grab. Everyone should start doing it. So when you're in your car, use the opposite hand,
right.
the one farthest from the door.
What they need to do is come out with a ad campaign that shows it like a wedding dance, like the electric slide or the cha-cha slide, where it's like, all right, hands at 10 and 2, parallel park. Now reach your right hand over, look to your behind you.
We need to do this.
I'm not actually doing the rap, but that would be the way to sell it.
What I'm amazed is that in this article that I'm reading, the Dutch don't have a word for this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just opening the door. That's what they, it's really? Like, this is how I open the door.
The Germans would have a word for it.
But we've dubbed it the Dutch reach.
The Dutch reach.
So yeah, I think it's a thing of there needs to be more education on both sides.
Yeah.
Cars and bikers.
I agree. So that Esmeralda doesn't get doored.
Yeah, please.
All right. Everyone do the Dutch reach. Do the Dutch reach now. Reach to the right with your right hand. No, I can't.
What?
Just
opposite reach.
Right. Yeah, now, we'll come up with something. We'll have Roger wrap it out for us a little bit later
He'll
on.
Do so, it.
Yeah. Cool. All right. This has been fun. We got more on the way here on 720 WGN. On this Sunday morning. Esmeralda Leon's over there.
Hi.
I'm over here. Hey, girl. John Hanson filling in for Dave Plyer. He'll be back next week, though.
Yes.
I was talking about Facebook. He'll be back. Dave always has such an awesome show. I got to say that.
I'm always like, how did he get
These people? How did he get all these people? I mean, our guests have been great today.
Right.
But, I mean.
He's like big celebrities.
Like Dick Van Dyke goes on his show. Stuff like that.
Just chatting with Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
I know. It's crazy.
Carol Burnett.
What?
I know, right?
Oh,
come
yeah.
on.
Yeah, Dave's got a fascinating story, too.
Yeah.
Great guy. Just missed him at the Hawks game on Wednesday night, too. He goes to a lot of Hawks games, too.
Yeah, I found him at last Wednesday, too, after you came up. Ran down and dragged him upstairs. him and his daughter.
Jeez.
Oh, I bet they love that. They had great seats.
Well, he wanted to, actually, because then he says, oh, look, I got to go. I got another client down the hallway. You didn't hear this story.
Nope.
So, you know, you have to have special tickets and a stamp.
Yeah, to get up there.
To get up where the boxes were. Well, he didn't have a ticket, so I ran down the hallway when we got up there because the guard wouldn't let him and his daughter in. So I ran down and got some tickets from Stephanie. And as mm-hmm. I'm coming back, here he comes walking down the hallway with his daughter.
Out.
No, he started talking to the lady and introduced himself. And she says, oh, I heard your interview last week with so-and-so. It's great. You go ahead.
Oh, there you go. See, talking to strangers.
Yep.
Dave Plyer, he has
it
figured out.
It also helps to have a radio show.
That's true. I haven't found that to be the case.
No,
I try and throw that
like,
around.
I'm on the radio, and they're like, "We don't listen."
Yeah,
to
but
them.
You're
like,
on
cool.
TV, John. I mean,
yeah, but no one. Yeah,
oh, that's true.
Still doesn't work.
Really?
Oh,
come on.
A little thing here and there. Most
don't you like walk around even when you're not working at the station with like a spare microphone in your hip pocket and just kind of pull it out with the little flag on
it's
it?
Connected
and say,
to nothing.
Hi, I'm with. Well,
I don't know. If that's
it's
a
wireless
spare microphone, or you're just happy to
happy to see me.
There we go.
No, yeah, thank you for mentioning the TV. I should give it a play. I am on every morning, Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 a.m. on WCIU, You and Me. I'm the guy they send out to make a fool of himself every day. That's what I do.
You love it.
I do. It's a fun show. Obviously, we're here at WGN, and I love WGN TV, too, as well. So, you know, you can flip between the two of them.
Yeah.
And GN TV's on for 12 hours, so it seems their morning show. So
you can just
tune over for 2 hours to WCIU. You're not going to – you've still got 10 more hours of – morning show on WGN.
Yeah.
And you have to be up so early in the morning every Monday through Friday.
I hear you, Esmeralda.
It's a transition.
Yes.
So you should listen to GN Radio for me and Nick and then watch John on TV.
Yeah, that's fun.
So just stay up the whole night in the morning. Just
never sleep again.
Never sleep.
No, never. Yeah. But if you don't sleep, you will probably get a cold.
See,
and you'll get sick.
Esmeralda, I knew we had this kinship because I was looking for the exact same set away. Look at this.
We have a recipe for a bourbon cough syrup for grown-ups.
Yes, because everyone's kind of getting cold. It's about that season
It's about that time. It's getting colder out. And this one sounds delicious.
Yes.
Well, it's got bourbon in it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's bourbon, lemon juice, some water, and some honey.
And this is like a homegrown recipe, right?
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it's supposed to warm you up, get you sleepy, so you can go to sleep and rest and get back to yourself.
God, that sounds really good. That just sounds like a drink, though.
I mean,
is there any?
It could be a great, and then it's hot. So you use hot water. It's kind of like a hot toddy.
Is there any medicine in this, or is it just?
No, but okay. Lemon juice has vitamin C, which okay. you need when you have a cold. And honey is supposed to be antibacterial, I believe, and soothing. When you drink it, it helps soothe your throat.
I think everyone has that one homemade thing that they do, mm-hmm. that homegrown remedy. Parents have it with kids. They swear by them.
For sure.
And you make up. Do you have anything that you do that's yours only?
Well, my mom used to make me do that. Well, she wouldn't make me, but she would tell me if I had a stuffy nose to mix a little salt and water and then snort it up my nose. And it would clear out everything, which sounds horrific,
yes.
and it is. It would burn so bad.
Right.
But it did clear, it cleaned house. But the thing is, I now do neti pots. So do a neti pot. Don't just snort.
I could never do a neti
pot. Salt water. It's not bad. Neti pot's quite nice.
That's just where you pour a little thing in your nose, right?
Yeah, so it looks a little teapot, mm-hmm. and you pour a mixture in that you buy it, mm-hmm. and you can make it, but it mm-hmm. has to be very exact or it'll burn. So you pour it in the, mix it with the water, and you pour it through one nose, through one nostril.
One of your noses.
Yes, and it goes,
goes out the other nose.
I have
nose.
Seven noses. It goes out one nostril and then out the other.
My question
You're
is,
supposed
do you,
to clean the sinuses.
Do you have to go upside down to do it? I've always
no, you
wondered.
Just tilt your head.
Really?
Then, yeah.
You just tilt your head?
Yeah, you tilt your head a little bit. You open your mouth slightly, and then it'll come out the other nostril.
Really?
Yeah.
And in then like for, a steady stream?
Yeah. And then for an added jolt... an added cleanliness, I snort a little up, and then you kind of got to spit it out. I know it sounds gross, but
it really is.
Hey, you snort a little bit, you get a little extra
but
jolt.
It feeds, yeah. But it gets like in the back sinuses or something. It feels very nice.
But is it mucusy what comes out of there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I never see mucus stuff because it's usually clear. And
this is making me
but
squirmy.
It does, but when you, and then you blow your nose afterwards, get everything out, and sometimes you do see a little weird stuff.
Just
it
take
depends.
An antihistamine.
Have you ever done a neti pot? Roger?
Actually, I was told to several years ago, because I do have a sinus issue,
mm-hmm.
and we had to actually order it at our Osco. They didn't have one. And they got it, and we bought it, and it's sitting somewhere in a cabinet somewhere.
Terrible. Okay. You should use
no,
it, Roger.
No, because I was looking for something other than the antihistamines.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll take one a day, sometimes on a really bad, like yesterday was a bad mold day. In the air, and so I needed two, and okay. and you know, I double dosed it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a double dose.
Yeah,
but
they make
house,
you a little
man.
Lightheaded.
Yeah,
and so I was trying to get off of that.
So you got stoned.
Yeah, you know.
Well, boo on
I
that
was
neti
feeling
pot.
Good.
I don't know. I just that just seems so disgusting to me. But I guess you know whatever.
It clean. It's very nice. I had a cough for the longest time, and mm-hmm. I finally went to the doctor, and the doctor. Told me to take a neti pot, do the neti pot twice a day.
That sounds like a dance move too.
And then there was something else he had me. I forget. Oh, I think just an antihistamine or something of that sort. But yeah, I had to do the neti pot, Dutch reach.
You pull it on over and you're cured.
But my cough went away because I had post nasal drip,
mm-hmm.
and the neti pot helps that tremendously.
Yeah.
I called the doctor once, and the doctor said. Put the lime in the coconut and drink it all up.
And do the neti pot.
And then the Dutch reach.
I think everyone's kind of got their own little home remedy.
Yeah, what do you got?
I've got a home remedy. I have a strict thing that I adhere to when I'm hungover.
Okay.
So I drink as much water as I can. Well, normally when I know, like if I'm a little under the influence, I order a mac and cheese pizza from Demos. I really attack this ahead of time. In fact, usually, if I'm at a bar or something, I will order it on Grubhub. I'll order it on Grubhub while I'm still at the bar so that it's there waiting for me, which
wow.
has proved to be a problem because sometimes they're so quick that I've had to beg my driver to stay there for another 15 minutes because I'm still in the cab
oh,
ride
my
home.
Gosh.
I'll be like, I'll give you $20 if you do not leave with that mac and cheese pizza, and I will grab it. So I have a mac and cheese pizza the night before, usually the whole thing. I just stuff it all in there.
Okay.
And then I drink so much water that I cannot help but to get up in the middle of the night to use
right.
the restroom.
So you clear yourself out.
I clear myself out. And then while I'm up, I take 2 ibuprofen, and then I do this. I rinse and repeat. Not with the mac and cheese pizza. I don't call them again at 3 a.m. But it, like, I usually have a Gatorade or something like that to really rehydrate. So then the next morning, I usually wake up and I don't have that hangover. Wow. I'm making it seem like I'm always in need of this. I do not frequently utilize
this. On the rare occasion that you are hungover.
Although you could look at my Grubhub history and I can just be like, it is just a history of the nights I've gone out drinking.
You're like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
Oh, that
was rough. No, the worst is when you are already ordering on Grubhub, it's kind of expensive to get a pizza, and then you have to beg your driver with a 20 to stand there and wait because he beat you home.
I love that.
That's a sign of a problem. But it's not a drinking problem. That's an eating problem.
That's a time management issue.
Yeah, that really is. That really is. Roger, you've got kids. Did you ever have any home remedies when they got sick? When teething happens, I know my brother, I shouldn't even say this.
A little bourbon in their mouth.
He does. So my brother's a bourbon drinker.
Just a little.
And he'll just put a little dab of Maker's Mark in my niece's mouth.
A little dab will do ya.
And it helps, I guess. I hope I'm not throwing him under the bus for that. Did you ever do that, Roger?
No. Well, I think my wife... From time to time, we didn't have liquor in the house, but once in a while she'd go get something, I guess, and she wasn't drinking it. And but she would rub it on the gums. But normally we would have gone out and gotten the brand name stuff that you can rub on the gums. But we also were really big into freezing those teethers. Freezing them and just carrying them with us and letting the kids chomp on that.
Yeah.
For that kind of stuff, home remedies. We for colds and stuff. I just did tea.
Okay.
Hot tea with maybe some honey in it to make you feel better. And I just did antihistamines and aspirin.
Those home remedies. A
couple double doses.
That was it. I mean, seriously, because I want to get rid of the sniffling.
Yeah,
and the sneezing, and the aspirin would make me feel like I could actually do something during the day.
Mm. Yeah,
especially when you had the fever.
If you take enough antihistamines, you're just going to be asleep for 3 days, and you're not going to be sniffling at all.
Right, and that was the problem.
I know we got to get to news. Do you remember the SNL sketch where Chris Farley, what was it called? Oh, gosh, what was it called? I'm going to have to think about this. I'm going to look this up. I don't want to do this because I know we got to get to the news.
I forgot what Chris Farley.
It was like Drama Doze, and he just chugged a giant bottle of NyQuil and slept for hibernated for 6 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
NyQuil was, I remember when it first came out.
NyQuil?
Oh, yeah. I'm that old. Thank you. When it first came out, and my parents bought it.
Uh huh.
And they said, all right, try this. I was older at the time.
Uh huh.
And they said, try this. I slept. Oh, my God, I have never slept like that since or before, honest to God. And it wasn't until a couple of years later that I realized that there was alcohol.
Oh, yeah. NyQuil. Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
NyQuil's messy.
As soon as I felt the little tickle in my throat, I said, hey, Mom, can I have some NyQuil?
That's just as bad as the bourbon. Yeah. No, NyQuil does some stuff to you. It is messy.
Man, it was fun.
Oh, my gosh. We do not advocate.
No. I'm just saying it was completely different. Because actually, when I was real little, we just sweated it out.
Yeah.
Seriously. When my mom was taking care of us or my grandparents taking care of us, we just sweated out the cold.
Yeah.
You're not staying home. Go to school. Get everyone else sick. And if you're really feeling hot, here's a handkerchief. Keep it with you. And we don't care if, you blow a hole through it at the end of the day. This is all you get to use.
Goodness. No wonder why you wanted
the when you get
NyQuil.
Home, you're going to sweat it out, and here's a bowl of chicken soup.
Until there was NyQuil, then they just drugged you to sleep.
Oh, baby.
So that's running the
Put a matzo ball in my NyQuil, and I'm good to go.
Lise, by the way, reminded me that it was Hibernol was the name of the thing. WGN, we've been talking about home remedies. Oh, Esmeralda Leon and myself, John Hansen, filling in for Dave Plyer. 708 says, here's one from my grandmother from Poland. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
I don't think I should. Can I read this?
I mean.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if this is real or not.
I don't think you put it up there. But.
So, for hemorrhoids, a raw potato works. The starch brings down the swelling. I kid you not. That's rich from Brookfield.
I'm going to assume a cut up potato.
Yeah, I don't know about the whole. Yeah, that's kind of disgusting.
What, are you trying to hatch the thing? You put the whole one down there?
I don't know. But that's from
maybe
Poland.
Small potatoes.
So that's man, we have not had good transitions to our serious subjects with guests.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, no, I got to apologize to Lisa as we bring in Lisa Shivers. So today is the start of Breast Cancer Awareness, or yesterday was the start of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I host a public affairs show, and I got to meet Lisa Shivers, who's this awesome person. And while it's not centrally located to breast cancer, it is about cancer in general and this amazing project that she's doing. Lisa, first of all, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me. Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, good morning. So you tell us your story and then tell us what the Lisa Project is, because it's so cool.
Okay, let's see. I'll start at the beginning. In the fall of 2014, I was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And it was very weird because I had flu-like symptoms. I actually thought I had the flu. So I went to the hospital to get a flu shot and was given a cancer diagnosis. So wow. It was pretty tough. So the first year, between 2014 and 15, I did 8 months of chemotherapy, and it really beat me up really bad. A lot of things happen. Chemotherapy basically changes the molecular structure of your body. So everything went in reverse. My skin became very dry. I developed a symptom called mucositis, where I had blisters and cuts and sores in my mouth. My gums bled. Everything just went south. So through trial and error, I found some great products that worked that made the side effects more a little easier to take.
More palatable or more, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So what I was thinking, like, hey, for the next person that's going to be going through this, if I can make a bag of toiletries that would help them, give them a head start, you know, start putting this on your hands now, putting this on your lips now, things of that nature. And I started a GoFundMe site. And originally, I wanted to raise $500 to make a few bags to give to the facilities that I was treated at. And $500 almost turned into $3,000.
Wow.
So I figured, hey, I need to be doing this permanently.
Yeah, and so the bags are just little goodie bags that have some, I don't want to say little products because they are important things, but it's not like you're putting $1,000 in a bag. You're putting, like, things, basic needs that people have that I imagine, Lisa, when they get them, it just makes it a little easier. Not only that there's stuff in the bag that they can use, but that there's someone that went through it, that what they're going through, that's giving the bag to them. I imagine that makes a difference too.
Absolutely, a huge difference. And when you're going through chemo and radiation, mouth care is very, very important. The biggest thing that I am so excited about in the bag is the non-alcoholic sugar-free mouthwash, because your mouth is sensitive. Chemo can't tell the difference between a good cell and a bad cell, so they kill them all, even the good ones. Mm-hmm. So that means that you're going to be very sensitive. So I've got things in the bag like non-alcoholic mouthwash, soft bristle toothbrushes, hand sanitizer, because when you lose your white blood cells, your resistance is very low. You're susceptible to germs all around. So hand sanitizer is very important. I've got a product in there called Utter Cream. It's for dry skin. Your skin becomes really dry during chemo, and a couple of more other things.
What are the reactions like when you deliver these bags to people? Do you do a lot of them in person, or do you send some through the mail? And if you do it in person, what are the reactions like?
I do most of them in person. I go to some of the clinics that I were treated at, and people are very excited and surprised, and they think they owe me something, and I always tell them the only thing that they owe me is to get better. I have started mailing bags out. I'm getting a lot of requests now, and people that are, you know, different parts of the country. I've sent some bags over to Phoenix, Arizona, a few to Chicago, a couple to Tennessee. So I'm very excited that the Lisa Project is not just in Indiana now. I can say that I've traveled to a couple different states, and I'm very excited about that.
When you were going through what you were going through, I can't even imagine at how difficult that was. Did you have a good support network along the way? And if so, I mean, is that how you learned that paying it forward in little ways really does make a difference?
Absolutely. I had a wonderful support system. My family and friends rallied around me, but everyone is different. And
everyone's journey is different. There were certain days where I wanted everyone around me, and there were certain days when I wanted to be totally alone. And I guess what I'm saying, the best thing is you have to kind of pick up on the energy and the vibe of the person that's going through it and kind of walk the walk with them.
What do you have a plan for the future? Obviously, you want to, you'd love to keep on filling bags, as many bags as you can. How can people find out more information?
Absolutely. I want to continue doing the bags. And what I've learned through my process is that men can also suffer from breast cancer and even all kinds of cancer, mm-hmm. because my bags are basically a chemotherapy radiation thing. So I want to branch out in the next couple of months and start making what I'm going to call the man bag. My bags are pink for the ladies, so I'm going to start branching out and do the man bag. And it's going to be a little, you know, similar to the pink bags with toiletry items and things of that nature. But everyone, I am on Facebook. You can look for me. The name of my page is The Lisa Project. And on my page, there's a link to my GoFundMe site. And I've also started selling T-shirts.
Oh, nice.
They are on my booster page. Yeah, it's www.booster.com. And it is / The Lisa Project. So I've got some really nice short sleeve and long sleeve shirts for both men and women.
I imagine. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Buying one shirt actually will support two patients.
You know, I think that when we are making choices, Esmeralda, I don't know if you do a lot of charity work. I'm sure you pay attention to that and donate money here and there when you mm-hmm. can. We're almost overwhelmed with, like, so many different causes, and they're all great. I mean, there's not really that many, you know, you do a little research on your charities, but I often feel like sometimes when I donate to a big charity, I know it's going to a good cause, but I can't, like, tangibly see it. Like, I don't know what...
Right.
Like, it's just kind of like you're throwing it out into the ether. And, yeah. And again, you know it's going to a good cause, and it's great. And they're big foundations that do great work. But, Lisa, I imagine what's really cool about what you do is I know if I send you $20 or whatever it might be, that it is going directly to a bag that will then go from your hands to their hands. And there's something really sweet about that you can trace that money directly to a specific patient. You know, there's that handoff.
Yes. And the Lisa Project has an open book policy. If you'd like to see where your money is going, have a look at my page and you'll see all the facilities that I've been to, St. Vincent Hospital, Cancer Care Consultants in Griffith, Indiana. I'm currently working on a project. I would love to take some bags over to Rush University in Chicago because that's where I was treated.
Oh, that'd be really nice, almost like bringing it full circle.
Absolutely.
All right, Lisa, thank you so much for sharing your story with us again. Look up the Lisa Project on Facebook. And Lisa, you have a great day, okay?
Thank you so much for having me, guys. Have a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for waking up early with us, too. Okay, we're going to wrap things up on 720 WGN right after this. WGN on the Sunday morning. At least that was perfect. We were just talking about how we were going to wrap things up, and Esmeralda and I were going to talk about Halloween and Halloween costumes, and it's almost like you read our mind. Yeah. Look at that, Lise.
There's a USA Today article that said that Americans spend $82.93 per shopper on Halloween.
That's insane.
It's a lot of money.
Like on costume and candy and all the whole rigmarole. Yeah,
it's insane.
That's a lot of money.
Pumpkins.
Yeah, but that's like $3
treats, pumpkins, and costumes.
For a good gourd, that's only going to cost you like 11 or 12. Although, yeah, it is. Actually, I didn't really realize that it had switched to October, that it seemed to happen so fast.
I know. But day two.
When we just heard that commercial just now.
For Christmas,
that was like, oh my goodness, it really is not that far away. And here we are in October, and I think you and I were talking about this, mm-hmm. is that Halloween comes up, and I always am like, every year, I'm going to come up with a costume.
Yeah.
Never happens.
I can't. I mean, like I said, I always think through the year, I'm like, oh, that would be awesome as a costume. And mm-hmm. then when it comes down to it, I forget.
You don't write them down?
I don't write them down. And I think, I should write them down. And then I never do.
You need a Halloween Google Doc.
I should.
A costume Google Doc.
That seems very prepared.
Oh, yeah. Or like your little notes app on your phone. No, I imagine that we'll have a ton of Trump costumes this year.
Oh, for sure. Trump, Hillary.
Hillary and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a lot of offensive ones. I'm sure there'll be some Colin Kaepernick terrible ones. You know what I mean?
Like, there were like a bunch of offensive ones.
Well, there always are. And yeah. that's always one of the big stories that comes out. What dumb fraternity did some goofy, terrible right. costume thing at this time of year? So I have not thought of, I always try and come up with one, but are you going to be wrangled into a couple one this year?
I might. Although I have done couples costumes and they're pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
One year I went with, this is an ex, but we went as, he was an old-timey bad guy with a top hat and a cane and the monocle and a cape.
Like the Penguin.
Yeah, like that. And then I was a girl on the train tracks. And we actually fashioned train tracks out of FedEx boxes.
Oh, that's really good.
We made a train. And I had to hop around all night with train tracks attached to me.
Do you ever feel like when you have a good idea like that you wish you could recycle that, like, a few years later?
I mean, I kind of want to.
That's really good.
Because I was thinking, and I didn't go anywhere like for a costume contest because I feel like we would have won.
Yeah.
Would have killed it.
My good friends Joe and Jenny down in Champaign, they're married, and they always have great couples costume. That's just who they are. And last year they were Eddie Valiant and Jessica Rabbit from Who Framed Roger
That's
Rabbit.
Awesome.
That was really good. There's some really, I'm trying to think of other ones that they've done in the past.
What have you been?
So I want to be Sherlock Holmes every year because I found this really awesome coat at the vintage store last year. And I'm like, it was a little more expensive, but I was like, I want to wear, it's like, it has like a cape on it. And I just want to wear it in everyday life if it was socially acceptable to do so. And I feel
I
should be.
You should.
I should everywhere.
Wear it. Wear it and own it.
I'll wear it. It's getting cold up, so the next time we co-host,
I want to see it.
Because if you spin, it like floats up in the air, like the cape.
That's awesome.
It's like a great entrance in any room.
There isn't any other costume that you could use that in?
I don't know. I got to think about it. Old timey British man, and that's a Sherlock.
You could be like an evil doer.
Evil doer. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I could be that half of your costume this time around.
There you go. Oh, there you go.
Things I've been in the past. I've been Harry Carey.
Fun.
I was Harry Carey for like 5 straight years as a kid.
Wait, as a kid?
Yeah, I was Indiana Jones. Oh, yes, Harry.
That is awesome.
The worst costume that I came up with was at the last second. I went as Peter Francis Geraci. I had briefcases and briefcases full of cassette tapes. My Bakersfield info tapes
that
and
is,
I hand wrote.
That is amazing.
Yeah, but I didn't really look like him. That was the only thing.
Did you do the voice?
Yeah, the monotone. Peter Francis Geraci.
Yeah, that's all you need.
I went as the dead captain from Titanic once.
Like, oh, fun.
Like the ghost.
Did you have icicles?
Yeah, I had icicles to that whole thing.
Cool.
My mom was so good at making costumes when we were growing up. My mom was an art teacher, just retired. She's very artsy. So, like, anything I came up with was awesome. I was the Tin Man, and my mom, like, fashioned and styrofoamed this whole amazing thing. I was really lucky as a kid.
And it's funny,
my mom was so creative with that stuff, and both of my brothers, every single year, went as firemen because my dad's a fire chief and had a bunch of fire equipment just laying around. So my mom, I think, was so happy that she had a son who was like, let's do something crazy.
Yeah.
So I was really lucky growing up. I think I expended all of my wonderful Halloween costumes at a young age.
You should ask your mom to make you something.
To come up with something that would be cute.
I mean, she knows.
That's true. I just can't, you know, I always think of it either a couple days after Halloween. I want it to be timely. I want it to be fun, but then I don't want to fall into the trap of it's going to be so dated and no one will remember. So many people last year were the left shark from Katy Perry's halftime show. And it's like,
can't
in a
really
few years.
You can't do that anymore.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore. And also, you look back at that like 10 years later, you're like, I don't know.
You can't be a hanging Chad.
No.
It's a little.
That's a little dated.
A little dated.
Come on. That was Gore Bush. That was 2000. No, there'll be a lot of election ones and other stuff like that. So I don't know if you got any ideas, last-minute ideas. We're going to be hanging out for a little longer. Just send us a text, 312-981-7200. We'll steal them, right?
Oh, no, for sure.
Yeah, so we'll stand around and watch them. Okay, we're going to wrap things up in just a few moments, but like every Sunday morning at this time, it's time for Walter Jacobson's perspective here on 720 WGN.
Most of the media is declaring that the debate Monday night was mostly contentious. I disagree. It seemed to me that Clinton and Trump were not nearly as contentious as they might have been, considering how contentious they had been before the debate. On Monday night, they were not a crook and a liar, or a con artist and a narcissist, or jailbait and a bigot. Compared to that kind of talk, Monday night they were sweetie pies. Except for 5 or maybe 10 genuinely contentious minutes, they were calm and mostly courteous, which I'll bet they will not be during their next debate, and surely will not be during their final debate on October 19th. The calendar is now on do-or-die time, and if Clinton stays on a roll like the roll she's now on, Donald Trump will go out of control, unable to be calm or courteous. And with more of the media now lining up against him, Trump is agitated, irritated, frustrated, and angry. And with Hillary's advisors preparing her even better for debate, and with her researchers digging up dirt on Trump's empire for a last-minute toss into the stew, and with Clinton's much more money for TV and a much superior ground game for getting her voters to the polls, you have to wonder. I'm wondering, when will Donald Trump explode? Before the next debate? During the next debate? Or before and during the final debate with just 21 days to go? If you think Trump and Clinton are contentious now with 44 days to go, try to imagine how they'll be with only 21 to go. Uh-oh. I'm Walter Jacobson, and that's my perspective. For more, visit WGNplus.com.
It's almost like Walter knew what was going to happen in the news the next couple of days with Trump's. Did you see the news report from the New York Times last night?
What was it?
That they got a handle of his 1995 tax returns.
Oh, yeah.
We will have a story on
that. I was going to say, I didn't want to tease it too much.
You did. That's perfect, man. Thank you.
Dave, you looked so serious when you came in. Because you're such a jovial, fun guy. And